about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective. And now, without further ado, because I know Bean is anxious to kayak back to his animal sex fortress, please welcome the legendary, the unstoppable, Kevin and Bean.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
What did you do?
Oh my God, I feel so much better. I just took a huge beer mug. Hi, Lisa May.
And now.
So, what do boobies look like?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's 5:32. It's Tuesday, the 22nd of April.
So this is what we're doing. This is what we've decided. This is how our lives are going to go.
Generally,
this 5:30 in the morning nonsense. Oh. This is the decision we've made. This is the commitment we've done.
It's been many years.
So we're going to get up and work
right
at 5:30 in the freaking morning.
Right.
That's what we're doing. That's our plan.
But I think that was settled a long time ago.
Just feel like some decisions should be revisited. You know,
you
don't leave your quarterback yet if he loses 13 games a year, you go, hey, it's time to reevaluate what we're doing with our program here.
It's never a bad idea to reevaluate.
I like it.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But, I mean, I look around the room and I go, is there dead weight in this room that we could eliminate that would just make the show soar?
I thought we were talking about when we get up.
We were.
I know. Once I realized that I got you guys convinced that we could take a look at things, then I thought, hey, there's a chance to drop the anchor.
It's a quick transition right there.
It certainly was. All of a sudden, I didn't mind getting up at 5 in the morning if there's no beer bug in my life.
Not so bad after all.
Well, that was crafty.
Well, we do have an excellent Kevin and Bean show planned for you today. But first, I thought this was fascinating. Money is dirty, right?
Yes, oh, yeah. It's filthy.
Yeah.
And full of drugs.
Every once in a while you hear that, isn't it some sort of crazy high percentage, Lisa, of how much cocaine is on U.S. currency?
It's like 80% of dollar bills or maybe all just, bills. Yeah.
It's just insane how much drugs are dealt with money. But here's the first comprehensive study of the DNA on dollar bills.
Oh.
Researchers at New York University's Dirty Money Project. They have some fancy new equipment there. Rather than having to look at it all under a microscope, they figured out a way, I think, that they can get a machine to do it.
This falls in the category of I don't want to know. I don't want to know what's on my money.
They have high-speed gene sequencing and computerized database analysis, and they're able to see way more DNA on money than ever before. So they analyzed genetic material on $1 bill. The New York University researchers identified 3,000 types of bacteria.
Okay, that's...
That's what?
I don't know what that means.
3,000 types of bacteria.
So that's not DNA. That's bacteria.
This is, well, DNA is bacteria also. So
okay.
They could only identify about 20% of the non-human DNA they found because some of the microorganisms have not yet been cataloged into genetic data banks. So they found extremely minute traces of anthrax and diphtheria. They identified DNA from horses and dogs. On one of the bills, there was a snippet or two of white rhino DNA.
What?
What? How?
How indeed? Easily the most abundant species they found is the one that causes acne. Other DNA found on the bills was linked to gastric ulcers, pneumonia, food poisoning, and staph infections.
Holy crap.
So, right?
Lesson? Use your ATM card.
Less than use your credit card for everything, right? I mean, fortunately, I carry – I mean, literally, the only time I use cash is in a vending machine or at a 7-Eleven. That's it. Everything else is credit card.
And to do drugs.
Right, of course.
Well, sure, yeah. A body temperature wallet is a petri dish, says Philippe Etienne, managing director of Innovia Security, which makes special banknote paper for 23 countries. Some countries, it turns out, are looking into ways to make their money less petri dishes, and they're using some sort of a plastic, some sort of polymer that they think will not allow DNA and viruses and bugs and everything else to live on the money as well as it does now.
I feel like I'm doing pretty well with getting diphtheria and different things like that, that's on money. Like, is this really necessary? I feel like my body's adapted.
Yes.
That's true. I mean,
you handle money every day.
You haven't gotten infected, really.
Rarely do we get sick from money, or do we? And we just don't know that's where it's coming from. It's just, I mean, have you ever seen those tests they've done where they flag a bill and catalog it in its trip, and you see how it transfers from person to person, city to city, country to country? It's so fascinating to see how fast and how far money can go sometimes, you know? And final note before we move on, a U.S. $1 bill, I thought this was interesting. The kind we use now lasts about 21 months, in case you were wondering how long currency is in circulation. 21 months, yeah. The U.S. Federal Reserve System is spending over $800 million a year to make money. Wow. It costs over $800 million a year to make the currency that we use in this country.
That's odd.
And then you got to spend the time and effort to put the white rhino DNA on it.
Right, sure. And the cocaine and whatever other residue.
Think about that when you take a dollar down to the vending machine today.
All right.
Fascinating.
Good start.
All right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
You need to quit this job and find something that you're halfway decent at.
Kevin Smith will be here today.
Yes, he will.
Writer, director, actor.
He does it all.
Friend of the show, part-time employee. we also have the international man of mystery.
I'll believe that when I hear it.
Doto. Now, this is a guy who travels to Asia a lot.
I think he spends a lot more time in Asia than he does in America, don't you?
Yes. With the old man, as he calls him.
Yep.
Right.
And we've been unable to ever talk to him when he's out of the country because he'll never respond to us. He'll say, hey, Kevin, do you think I can make it in show business? And we'll say, where are you right now? And he'll say, Malaysia. And then we'll go, what's the phone number we could reach you on? Never an answer.
No.
Never. So this time I think we have an answer, and I think we're going to be able to talk to him.
I just need some babes, man.
Right. We also have funny man David Allen Greer on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
Love him.
And we have Arcade Fire tickets.
Awesome.
Wow.
In the fourth row. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik.
Hey.
Nice.
Thanks.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Arcade Fire tickets in the fourth row. You can win them this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Got a couple different chances for you to win. And, of course, the grand prize drawing we do next week to give you your own dressing room, your name on the ticket and the marquee. You get to present the band. You're practically a member of Arcade Fire when we're done with you. Ralph is here now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. What's up, Ralph?
I think maybe we should have done Easter disasters.
Why?
Because I read this story this morning and it's not funny, but I've been laughing all morning. The Dye family, D-Y-E family, was having their annual Easter egg hunt on Sunday. Everyone having a good time, right? Enjoying themselves. Kids running around looking for eggs with their little baskets.
Sure.
What could be more wholesome and adorable? There in beautiful New Jersey, just having a good time when something interrupted their egg hunt.
Uh-oh.
49-year-old Arkady Schenker was skydiving that morning.
Oh, no.
Jumped out of a plane. He was wearing one of those special wing suits so he could float for a while, fly for a while before he pulled his chute.
Right.
Well, there was some sort of malfunction, and that's when the 49-year-old skydiver plummeted into the middle of the Dive family Easter egg hunt.
Oh.
That isn't good for you.
That's got to put a bummer on your Easter egg hunt, don't you think?
Right. You're reaching for an egg. Boom! Body.
Luckily, nobody was struck during the hunt, but that's one the kids won't forget for a while.
Yeah, that's traumatizing.
Did anybody look under the skydiver? I think there's an egg under there.
Oh,
I would have said. I think the Easter Bunny put an egg under him. Let's talk about show business news. Shia LaBeouf is acting strangely.
What?
Hardly news, but for a while, we thought it was just douchebaggery and alcohol.
Yeah.
But now maybe something else. Star Magazine has a report from witnesses in a cafe that said Shia was having a full-blown conversation with no one else at the table.
All right. Uh-oh. Now.
Gesturing wildly with his hands and constantly looking behind him while he was talking.
He didn't have a paper bag on his head, though. We know it was him, right?
We know it was him.
Okay.
He didn't have to pick up an item off a table and then go sit down with him. It was just him.
So he's losing
having
it.
A full-blown conversation.
He's going full Amanda?
Wow.
And here's the thing. You can't, stop it, celebrities. Stop being mentally ill, because it takes the fun out of it for us to make fun of you.
Right.
You know.
If you're just being a dumbass, that's a lot
of
fun.
Be a mess. That's fun. We can talk about you being a mess, but if you're really sick, then we just feel bad and we can't do it anymore.
Think about us.
Think about us.
Right.
So be a little crazy, but don't be full crazy. Clint Eastwood continues to be the man in his 80s. He was out there golfing with some friends last week, and they hear this noise coming up from behind a clump of trees. Eastwood sticks his head back there and finds a poor, sick little kitty cat. Instead of leaving the cat behind, or doing the right thing and clubbing it to death with a 9-iron. Eastwood apparently picked the kitty up, left his foursome, took the cat to the vet, paid the bill, and according to vets, probably saved its life, as the poor thing was not only sick but also seriously malnourished, and they have brought the cat back to health. Now they're going to see if they can get a home for it.
He did the right thing.
That when they can't, they got
to
put it down.
Club to death with a 9-iron. That's right. As long as that's how the story ends, I really care what happens in between. It's in the news. Speaking out more so about her miscarriage and that list of sexual partners that somehow got leaked to the press.
Right.
This cracks me up because, you know, she's in AA.
Mm-hmm.
Alcoholics Anonymous. She said that the list that she wrote was for her sponsor. I don't know why your sponsor would need to have a list of everyone you ever boned.
Yeah, that's weird.
She did this as part of her 12 steps of her recovery.
I think her explanation was that it was people that she... It was part of that people you owe an apology to, or people who you've done wrong to in your life, maybe?
I was getting to that. The fifth step.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
The fifth step, she claims, which is supposed to be when you... you admit your wrongdoings to God and one other person, it says in the fifth step. It's sometimes called the amends step, where you have to go out.
Oh, I thought you had to go to the person that you hurt.
Not necessarily. You just have to cleanse your soul. You have to get the secrets out, the guilt off your shoulders by confessing to God, yourself, and one other person.
Okay.
So she may have made this list for her sponsor. But I can't imagine why sleeping with these people would be a mistake or
right.
a wrong that she had done.
Maybe it's just her not honoring herself in some way.
Maybe she was horrible at sex.
Or
maybe
she gave them
terrible
herpes.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah. Anyway, she said she wrote it for a sponsor and someone took a picture of it and leaked it. She thinks she knows who it was. But she said, that's not something I'd show anyone besides my sponsor, who is also a very well-known person.
Come on!
Really?
Wow.
Do you have to try to draw attention to yourself through your sponsor by saying they're a celebrity too?
I only hang out with celebrities. Basically is what she said.
She said, oh, and I boned him, too. I boned my sponsor. I put him on the list afterwards.
Daily.
I updated the list. And did you guys have a good National Record Store Day?
Man.
Did you party?
Partied like crazy. I'm still hungover.
Did you decorate the record store tree?
Sure.
With the kids? Uh-huh. That's their favorite part.
You know how we do.
It has become, Record Store Day really has become eBay Day, according to sources. Very few people actually go to the record stores to take advantage of the new vinyls and things like that, the special things that they put out on that day, except for eBay retailers who go there, buy them en masse, and then go and sell them on eBay for considerably bumped up prices.
Open up a blog.
Here is what you can now find on eBay, thanks to the people, the trolls who went to the stores and just cleaned them out. Remember Jack White's fastest single ever? We just talked about it yesterday.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He was on stage. He ran off the stage, and he got it pressed, and he went to the thing, and he got it burned, and he got the picture sleeve, and 4 hours later, there was a record made from that performance. Well, if you want one now on eBay, that 7-inch 45 now sells for $649.
Wow.
REM released a four-set LP. On Record Store Day, it's now selling for $340. The new Pixies album, Indie Cindy, that's going for $200 on vinyl. So, If you want to pick up the vinyl that came out, especially on Record Store Day, you'll probably have to pay a pretty penny on eBay.
There's a little bit of a blowback even from some of the artists, Ralph. I saw that Paul Weller, you know, British star from the Jam Style mm-hmm. Council, he said after seeing his record go up on eBay immediately, he said, I'm not going to do it anymore. That's a complete violation of the spirit of the whole thing. The whole idea is to get people to go to record stores and buy these things because right. of the love of the music.
Yeah, no one's going except for a few people who are into making a huge profit on eBay.
Right. Yep.
Probably not what they had in mind.
Yeah, probably.
Not at all.
I should have opened up a blog.
Should have.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jack Nicholson. Very few people can get as old as Jack and stay as cool as Jack.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. I was thinking that as I saw the photo that Hugh Hefner tweeted out of the Easter egg hunt at the Playboy Mansion. With him, with that ridiculous captain's hat that he now wears and his robe on and everything. He just looks like a guy who just wandered out of the garden of the home, who now the rest of the staff is looking for. But Nicholson remains the coolest at 77 years old
now,
today.
He did apparently, as you told us a couple of years ago, for reals, retire, right? It doesn't seem like he's got anything in the pipeline.
That's, from what I've heard, there is nothing that he is working
wow.
on.
Wow.
John Waters is 60. I think he retired when the Lakers did. When he said, when he said, if the Lakers aren't going to play anymore, then I'm not going to act anymore either. John Waters is 68 years old today. Singer Peter Frampton is 64. Fletcher of Pennywise turns 48 years old today, as does actor Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Oh, I missed that Magic City. Boy, that was a good show. I enjoyed that. Willie Robertson from the Duck Dynasty gang is 42. Chavo from System of a Down turns 40. Daniel Johns of Silverchair is 35 years old today. And actress Amber Heard.
Yep. Yes.
Celebrates her 28th birthday today. Oh, she's the most beautiful woman in all of the land, the magical forest. She is the princess that goes by and makes all of the flowers bloom. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
All day today, we're giving you seats in the fourth row to see Arcade Fire.
That's pretty close.
And Miguel Guzman from the made-up city of Cudahy.
Or Cudahy. Oh, no, Cudahy is right there at the California-New Mexico border, Kevin. Everybody knows that.
Sure. Anyway, he won and is in the drawing to present the show and get a dressing room backstage, and you get to introduce the band. It's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
And we're doing it all week long. Today it is row four, so congratulations.
Thanks for tuning in. Let me take that again. Thanks for tuning into the Kevin Abiche Show here on a Tuesday morning. Let's talk about your favorite singer in the world, Neil Young, Kevin.
Look, Neil Young has his place in history. He's super influential, and a lot of the bands that I love worship him.
Yes.
Neil Young deserves to be worshipped. He's one of the greatest singer-songwriters in history. But I am going to say,
if you don't mind me just backing up there.
Yeah.
I'm fine with songwriter. But he's a... And I know everyone doesn't share this. He's a terrible singer.
No, I think everyone knows he's not a good singer.
Okay. All right. Good.
Right?
But he brings a certain something that is awfully Neil Young-y that nobody else brings.
Right. Nobody sings that bad.
But here my whole thing. If you're going to be Neil Young and you're going to put out an album that nobody wants to hear, you doing cover versions of Gordon Lightfoot songs from the 60s, at least go ahead and make it sound as bad as possible, right? That's where Neil Young's coming from. He went into a 1947 machine called the Voiceograph, and he did this with Jack White at Jack White's Third Man Recording Studios in Nashville, and he laid down an album of cover songs on a 1947 piece of equipment that has to sound like garbage, right?
Well, I would imagine it. Yeah, of course.
Doesn't it just seem to you like there have been tremendous accomplishments in studio quality sound in the last 60 years?
Now, I was not aware of this machine, but apparently it burns it to an album, a vinyl.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
As you do it, right as you do it. So as you say it, that's being recorded onto the vinyl, and that's really
that's
weird.
That's your master copy right there.
Right.
Yeah, you're not laying it down and then going in and sweetening it or editing it or anything like that. The authenticity is what Neil Young is looking for. I'm just as much of a Neil Young fan as I am, I'm concerned how bad this might sound. But we wanted to find out more about this. We asked producer Dave, hey, any chance in a billion years we can get Mr. Neil Young himself on the show? And I believe we have him on the phone right now. Hi, Neil. What are we talking through right now? We can barely hear you, Neil.
The voiceogram. Oh, this is how bad it sounds?
Ralph.
Hello?
Voice of Graf. He's a voice of Graf. Not Graham. Right. I got you.
Okay, Graf. Okay.
Can you get closer to the phone, or is there any way you can pump the volume up so we can hear you, Neil?
Absolutely,
man. All right. So what's the... Yes, you're definitely being authentic. This sounds like a call across the Atlantic from 1910. So, Neil, what's the point of making music if nobody's going to want to listen to it if it sounds like this?
Because it's raw.
It's what?
Raw.
It's
raw. I think you said raw.
Oh, raw. Yeah, but it sounds terrible.
I think it has a sense of authenticity.
Well, it's...
people really seem to love.
What is... I mean, it's a novelty, though. It's not... People will put this on and go, yep, he sure recorded that on a piece of equipment that was old. But it's not like the type... Neil?
Hello?
Are you still there?
I'm still here.
You're still there?
Yeah.
Okay. What were you saying, Bean? I forgot the question.
I was saying it's a novelty, though. It's something you want people to listen to once and go, yep, that sure sounds old, and then put away. It's not like it's something we could ever listen to more often than that.
This music has a quality to it that needs to...
Neil is skipping. Stop it.
Okay.
It's Christmas morning right now.
It really is.
We're right in front of the tree. We're looking at all those presents. We're getting ready to unwrap them. This is going to be the greatest day of the year, ladies and gentlemen. All right, give me the big intro. Let's do it.
I need some babes.
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
I need a woman. I was in Vietnam. I definitely need a Korean woman.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called it?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
I drank your milkshake.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
Woo! And now the further adventures of Johto, international man of mystery, man.
Yeah.
Now, we try like hell to get Johto on the air. I mean, we really go the extra mile. Dave has been... on Facebook with him for weeks to make this happen.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's like a hostage negotiation.
And every single time he says, I'm in Asia. And we go, well, you know, phones are there as well.
Right.
And we finally were able to get him to call from, where is he, Kuala Lumpur?
I believe he is. I believe he's Malaysia, Kevin and Bean. Johto, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Bean, I wish you were my old man, Bean.
Yep. I wish I were your old man, too, Johto.
Now, Johto, question number one does seem to be, you seem to be fighting
Yeah, the thing is, I just have some disagreement with my old man, because, you know, he's kind of old-fashioned way in their thinking. You know, they don't think, they're not very Americanized like you and I, Kevin Bean.
Right.
So I already,
but aren't you like 35 years old, Johto? Why aren't you out on your own, kind of out of under the pressure of whatever your parents decide?
You know, it's a long history, Bean. I'm sorry. I already got it worked out with the old man.
You did, because we were a little worried because one of your texts today was, my old man is holding hostage till the first week of April. He's almost 70. I hope he dies in hell very soon.
I would just exaggerate. I'm just joking around with Dave. I thought, hey, Bean, guess where I'm going? Bali, man, in a few days. Bali.
That's great. No, but let's keep to the topic of your father for just a moment here. My question again is, aren't you old enough to move out and have your own life and not have your parents dictate what you do?
Yes, I am, Kevin.
But then why – that was B. But then why does it seem to make you so angry and you say your dad kidnaps you? Why can't you just –
I'm just joking around because eventually I like to have my own life, Kevin. That's all.
That was Kevin, right?
It doesn't sound like I hope he dies in hell very soon is – like that doesn't sound like a joke to us. But okay. We'll take your word for it.
Why don't you just get on a plane and come back to California and do what you want to do?
Well, I'm doing – I'm getting my ass back to the States and getting in about 2 weeks, Bean.
About 2 weeks.
So why are you going to Bali then? If you want to come back to America, if you're being held hostage, why are you going to Bali?
Hey, I need a vacation, Bean. Don't we all, Bean?
Now wait, you don't have a job, do you?
Yeah, well, it's because I'm working with the old man.
Right.
I can do whatever I like. So eventually, I like to probably be my own man. My own man.
I was just asking. You said you need a vacation, and I didn't think you actually were employed. So it seems like that's all you do is travel around the world.
Yeah, but I'll get that changed soon, Bean.
That's Kevin.
Right. How long have you been in Malaysia, Doto?
I've been about two months, Bean.
Okay, hey, you got it right. Yeah. And what have you been doing over there for 2 months?
Well, what I've been doing over there, just watching CNN and just sleeping, man.
Okay. Well, you do need a vacation.
Yeah, so that brings me back to the vacation part. So you just sleep all day and watch CNN while your dad works.
Sometimes, not all the time. So I do a variety of things. I travel a lot around the country, Penang.
Right. He took a lot of traveling, a lot of sleeping, and a lot of watching TV. He must be exhausted, you guys.
Doe, have you met any women? I know that's always a concern of
yours. You know what? Yeah, to be honest with you, I met one woman. I went out on a date with her a couple of days ago.
Okay,
and it's not too bad. She's a Chinese lady, and she's in the hospitality industry.
Okay,
Tell us about that. How did you meet her, Doto?
I met her at the Sunday brunch at the buffet at the Shangri-La Hotel in Kuala Lumpur. I went up to her, I talked to her, I gave her my number, and I just told her who I am and asked her if it's possible that we can connect, and she said yeah.
Did she call you or text you later?
I called her and she texted. I texted her and I called. It's the right number.
But I mean, does she answer?
It's the right number, by the way. Is an actual concern that Doto has.
Of course she answered, Kevin. Of course she answered.
Well, I'm saying the last time we had you on, you said she changed her phone number. So I was just curious if she was.
This was 13 years ago. This was back in 2001 at the Singles Party, Kevin.
Oh, you mean when the girl gave you the fake number?
Yeah, that was a long time. Yeah,
that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what did you and your Chinese lady do on your date, Doto?
Yeah, we had dinner at the Twin Towers, and we talked a little bit about the martial art movie, like Steven Seagal.
Oh, that's good. The ladies love it when you bring up Steven Seagal. That's great. So, are you going to see her again before you leave the country?
Hopefully. I'll probably talk to her through Facebook. I'll probably text her and see what the heck's going on.
Right. How are the buffets in Asia compared to the buffets in America that you love so much?
You know what? To be honest with you, it depends. If you eat at the Shangri-La, if you eat at the Sheraton, it should be comparable to the United States, and maybe a little bit better. Here's the problem, Kevin.
Yeah.
Why is it that at the Sheraton Hotel or the Marriott, like when you stay at them in the United States, it's not like glamorous or anything. But in Asia, it seems like they stand out more. Why is that? Because when I was eating buffet at the Sheraton in California, I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not like five stars. But if you eat like a buffet like in Vietnam or in Indonesia and Singapore, it seems like the Sheraton, they stand out more. You know what I mean?
So the Sheraton is a higher quality there than it is here, you're saying?
Yeah. To some extent, that's true. I don't know why is that? Because it seems like if it's international, it stands out a little bit more. But if it's within if it's in the United States, it may not be as standing out. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't know the answer to that question because I don't understand the question. Hey, Doto, what are they saying in Malaysia about the missing airplane number 370?
Yeah, you know, it's really a mystery, Kevin or Bean, because some people could say that it was just a political fight because it could be because there was a lot of Chinese that's on the plane. Some people argue that it could be a political thing, that there was a lot of arguments, so there could be disagreements, so that's how the plane could crash, or some people say that it could be a hijack. Who knows, right, Kevin Bean? There's a lot of what ifs, right?
There's
Kevin
a Bean? Lot of what ifs. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a disagreement, that could certainly bring a plane down.
My guess is as good as yours. So, because some people argue it could be religious, like Christianity, Muslim. So, I doubt it has anything to do with Christianity, Kevin Bean, because I think that when it comes to to religion, I think I'm pretty sure that the pilots are pretty neutral, regardless what religious background and belief somebody has, right, Kevin Bean?
I apologize for asking.
So I don't think religion has anything to do with it. So okay. I think that it could be. I don't know. It's really hard to say.
Okay.
Now, I just wonder how CNN has gone 6 weeks without having Doto on as one of their experts.
Well, I watch CNN, BBC quite often, so I'm pretty much familiar about what's going on.
Right. Now, Doto, one of your other concerns is that your friends are defriending you on Facebook.
I don't know, because it's a long history. I don't know.
Just give us a short answer. How many people have unfriended you?
Just one or two. That's all. Because maybe I have ticked them off at the party, and maybe I have accidentally offended them. But I already talked to them, and they seem fine to me. But sometimes people can lose their cool, but eventually people get over it, right? Being hey, you can't hate forever, right, Bean?
Sure,
right, Bean?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Look. You don't need them, Doto. It's their loss if they're not friends with you on Facebook, as far as I'm concerned.
I know that thing, but what I'm saying to you is that from my experience of dealing with people, like sometimes people have problems or they have issues, and sometimes when people get to know your personality, a lot of times they do accept it, because sometimes it could just be a personality. Who knows? I mean, it's all what ifs.
Right. Okay.
It's all what ifs.
Now, Doto, before you go to ballet, I'd like to give you a.
Yeah.
Some homework. I'd like,
Kevin. Am I going to meet any ladies? Am I going to things like that? I know what the heck you're thinking, Kevin.
He does.
Yeah, of course I know what you think. I've known you too well, Kevin.
No, but I'm saying before you go, you should see that girl again.
Yes. Because that's why I'm going to call her after when I call you guys.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to see what she says on Facebook, because I don't want to. Remember, Bean, we don't want to bug her, right? Bean, if I bug her too much, she could just avoid you, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to pour it on too strong. So, Doe, we have to go, but when are you going to be back in the United States? Because I understand you would like to make it in show business.
Yeah, I will be back around May 9th.
May 9th.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to look forward to seeing you again soon then. So you're having a good time. You're going to promise not to kill or hurt the old man, right?
Why would I want to do anything dumb, Kevin? I mean, sometimes we all lose our temper. Sometimes we all lose our cool.
Right, but we're worried what you'll do when you lose your cool. That's all.
So what I do is I'll beat the punching bag. Like that's all.
I see.
Okay. All right. That's fantastic. Well, Doto, any final words for America before we say goodbye, then, sir?
What final word for America is universal health care, Kevin Bean.
Right.
Okay.
Universal
all right.
Healthcare.
Let's leave it there. Thank you, Doto.
I'm happy.
Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 6:53.
Coming up right after the top of the hour, our friend Kevin Smith, podcaster, director, producer, screenwriter, actor, author, Ralph's life partner, will be in studio with us, David Alan Greer, at 8 o'clock. Right now, time for the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's Tuesday. That means new releases today. Oddly, just CDs today. No DVDs or TV shows on DVD, which I thought was odd. It either means Dave the KMXO just got tired and didn't want to work. Didn't want to look for any more.
That seems likely.
Or there are none. Pop Psychology by Neon Trees. New Neon Trees CD is available today. Love those guys.
I do too.
The new classic by Iggy Azalea. I'm not familiar with Mr. Azalea, but
I think she's a rapper from, I want to say, Australia, maybe?
The girl name is Iggy.
That's strange.
It's a nickname. It's a nickname. It's not a real name.
We hate her. I hate her music. Never heard it, but.
I have a clip if you.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to be able to hear.
Hot girls, we have problems too. We're just like you, except we're hot.
Well, she's hot. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. Cautionary Tales of Mark Oliver Everett by Eels. Sounds like a Charles Dickens novel.
It does.
Amazing Spider-Man 2. The 2 CD deluxe edition soundtrack. It's got everyone from Pharrell on there, Johnny Marr, Hans Zimmer. And Wolf by Tyler, the Creator. So, those are your new CDs. We're going to pick those up. Speaking of CDs, did you know CDs and DVDs are recyclable?
No, I didn't.
And actually, it's really highly recommended that you do take the steps to recycle them because you just throw them out. They go to a landfill. They will last forever. And if they try to incinerate them with the rest of the trash, they emit toxic fumes into the air.
Really?
Yes, they could be deadly.
That's weird.
So there's a big push right now to get people to recycle their CDs and DVDs. Here's the problem. It's a big pain in the ass.
You have to go to one of those toxic recycling places,
yes,
right?
You have to go to something that's called a techno trash recycler, yeah. Lisa.
Where you take your computers and stuff.
Right. E-waste is another phrase they're using for this stuff. But there is a brand new opportunity to do the right thing. It's the CD Recycling Center of America. And what you need to do is go on their website, and then you can print out a shipping label. Now, you have to pay for the shipping, but you send it to them, and then they break it down into all the appropriate elements and are able to dispose of it safely. So if you are if you're green and you want to do the right thing, there's a brand new service available for you. I thought I'd give you the heads up about. CD Recycling Center of America is the name of it.
Okay. What if you want to, but that's too much work?
Yeah, well, that's not for people like you, Kevin.
Okay.
It's for people who have, you know.
Have Linus do it.
Yeah, right. Have your assistant do it, for God's sakes.
Thank you, Lisa.
What you paying for, man?
That's right. We're going to have Lupita when she's cleaning up your... She's not translating soccer into English for you. She could pick up your DVDs and get that squared away. I didn't know this, but some electronic shows like Best Buy apparently will accept them, too, if you want to get them recycled.
Okay.
You can drop them off there. So. Is that a little easier for you, Kevin?
Yes,
would you do that?
Yeah.
Would you take it to Best Buy?
No. I mean, I'm not going to do that.
No, of course you would. Jodie Foster's clean and sober.
Was that a problem?
Well, no, it wasn't, which I think is odd for someone to be clean and sober when they don't really have a drinking problem. Apparently, she enjoyed a few drinks, but it was every night. She'd sit down and have a couple glasses of wine or a couple cocktails, and she's getting ready to marry her girlfriend, Alexandra Hedison, and Alexandra apparently thought that Jody's casual drinking was leading down a bad road, so she said, you know what? It's time for you to stop your drinking, to which I would have said, well, it's time for us to stop our marrying then. But no, Jody said, okay, fine, whatever you say, and is now... completely sober. No more alcohol. You see, gays and lesbians, you wanted the magics of marriage, and now you got it. Now you got all the benefits. You got the benefit of someone just coming to your life and just telling you what to do and just changing your life. Boom. There you go.
Be careful what you wish for.
Enjoy. Richard Gere, he apparently has a new girlfriend. Age of 64 years old, he's got himself a brand new love. He is divorcing his wife of a long time, Carrie Lowell.
Mm-hmm.
But he has been spending a lot of quality time, according to the New York Post, with Padma Lakshmi.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah, that's a good deal right there. She, of course, of Top Chef fame. Yeah, that's a good deal right
there. Yeah, she's a good deal.
Now, wasn't Padma Lakshmi married to the fatwa? Salman Rushdie. Yeah.
Yep, she sure was.
But they're divorced too, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
By the way, worst fatwa ever. Guy was on every TV show. He was at every party. He was at every speech, every movie premiere. They never could find him.
Yeah. It was a symbolic fatwa, yeah. I think. More than
right, but don't come out and say we're putting a fatwa on your head that we're going to kill you if we see you and then just ignore you for 25 years.
Hey, if he went to their house, they probably would have killed him.
Maybe so.
Or I gave him a stern talking to. It was a strongly worded letter of fatwas, is what it was.
It really was. Yeah. I just remember he laid low for like a month, and then all of a sudden he's on stage with Bono at a U2 concert. And I was thinking, that's not really staying in the shadows, Solomon. Come on.
Cameron Diaz has a hard time finding a man.
Really?
Her friends are saying that it's because she talks too much like a teenager instead of a grown woman in her 40s.
Among other things.
Friends say she's constantly spouting off about her bisexuality and her private parts, and that kind of language may be driving men away, they think. Oh, yeah. Men hate women who are into other chicks and talk about their vaginas a lot. You're right. You're right, sources. Maybe these men have seen some of her movies. That's all I'm thinking.
That could be it.
That would drive me away, I know.
Yeah. I think she seems like she'd be a lot of fun. I think she'd be great to be friends with. I just don't find her attractive enough to want to date her.
Well, I'm sure she's bummed about that.
No, I know she's not, but I'm just saying. I'm sure that, I mean, it's possible that other people feel the same way. She's just not that hot.
I think she's plenty attractive. But then I watch, like, the upcoming Annie trailer, and I go, phew, no, yeah. No, there's no way. It's like finding out that someone was a member of the Nazi party. You know?
I don't think it's quite that
It's exactly like that.
Okay.
It's exactly like that. You find out something about him and go, ooh, that's a deal breaker right there. Have you seen that trailer for that? The African-American remake of Annie?
I've not.
With Cameron Diaz as Miss Hannigan?
No. So it's not strong?
Man. She does a lot of that white girl, like, I don't think so.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. It's a little disturbing. Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg are working together again. They've done 3 films in their lifetime. Saving Private Ryan, Catch Me If You Can, The Terminal. And now, apparently, according to Daily Variety, they are collaborating on a new project. Fascinating story. I would watch this. This is the story of Francis Gary Powers. Are you familiar with Francis Gary Powers?
I am not.
He was a pilot of a U-2 spy plane, was shot down over Russia during the Cold War and captured by the Soviets. And the CIA used an out-of-house attorney named James Donovan to negotiate his release. It's a fascinating political espionage intrigue tale. It was true life. And that's the film they're working on, with Tom playing that detective, James Donovan, the man who had to work with the Russians to try to get Francis Gary Powers released. But interesting story. I think it could be a good movie.
I agree.
Those guys do good work together. Kings of Leon have announced a summer tour. The Fallowell Brothers are supporting their Mechanical Bull album, and the tour will open on July the 31st in St. Louis, wrapping up on October 3rd, right here in Los Angeles at the Hollywood Bowl. Young the Giant and Congos will open some of those shows, so if you want to get more dates, you can check out their website. But know for sure they're coming here in October.
Which disease are they going to be spreading at that show? Do you know?
Wow, man.
We got measles.
Why
are
you
going to
be like that? No, it was your stinking infected city that did it.
Are they bringing cholera to L.A.? What they got planned?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Jack Nicholson, 77 years old today. How do you celebrate a birthday when you're Jack Nicholson? When every day
you can't say the F word.
Oh.
You're not allowed to say the F word. Whatever the F he wants to.
Just every day. He just wakes up and... Well, I guess I'll have a threesome this morning, then pour vodka on my Cheerios. That's a breakfast for him. John Waters is 68 years old today. Peter Frampton turns 64. Fletcher from Pennywise is 48. Jeffrey Dean Morgan not only was the star of Magic City, I loved that show, but you may remember him too as the comedian from the Watchmen movie, 48 years old. Willie Robertson. From Duck Dynasty. I'm going to take that name off the list.
No, Duck Dynasty, come on.
We don't really need to celebrate Duck Dynasty.
Of course we do.
And Chavo, System of a Down, is 40 years old today. Amber Heard, 28. Johnny Depp's a lucky man.
Yeah.
That's what champions do.
Yes, it is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening. Excuse me.
What was that all about?
Apologize. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:10.
Ralph, who's your lady friend?
How dare you? I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Kevin Smith. All man.
How are you?
He is all man.
He's all man and he's all mine.
Hey, you went to Coachella last weekend or this weekend?
Last weekend.
How did you enjoy it?
Loved.
My kid went. My kid's, she's a kid, she's 14, she's going to be 15
right.
in June. So she wanted to go. She's a big music fan and whatnot. And, you know, if everyone who lives out here, of course, it's some sort of rite of passage. I'm from Jersey, so I have no pressing need to go to the desert and listen to live music. But right. I can sit in my car and listen to music. I can hear every lyric.
It's not the same. But
and
all
it's
right.
easy. So she went with her friend. And of course, there was a question of whether or not Jennifer and I would take her. My wife is very into live music, so she was like, let's go to the desert. And I was like, you're out of your mind. So we tapped Jason Mewes, and him and his wife took the kids to Coachella this weekend. Came back in one piece. Everything was great. You know,
right.
The whole weekend.
Let's just stop right there. Jason Mewes was your choice?
The responsible one. Well, it's not so much him.
His wife is insanely responsible.
Okay, but... Jason's a good guy to have around because, like, he's the dude that if somebody's like,
calls him a name or somebody pushes him, he picks up a pool stick and just breaks it over his head.
All right.
So okay, that's good. A guy you want around your kid.
Sure.
So he comes back and I was like, how'd it go? And, you know, I'd seen the kid sent us pictures. Like Jen, my wife, would call me over and be like, this is your daughter. And there she is in Coachella, like wearing shorts and a bikini top and stuff. I'm like, well, you know, that's not what – is that what girls do?
That's what everybody
does. I was never – I wore a bikini top when I was a young boy to hold mine together. So, you know, she's having a great time. Muse comes back. I go, how'd it go, dude? What was it like? He's going, it's totally cool the whole time. They had a great time. Nobody messed with us or anything. He's always, there's one moment, though. I said, what happened? He's going, I thought I was going to get in a fight. I said, what happened? He's going, so the girls are sitting there rocking out. This dude comes up behind him, and he's like an adult, and he's dancing, and all of a sudden he just puts his two arms around the girls.
Oh.
Now, he didn't grab or anything like that, but, you know, as you do, I guess, at a muse. I haven't done these things in a while, but he's just a dude enjoying himself or whatever, sees two young ladies, and, hey, drapes on. So Jay goes, first thing I go is, hey, and the dude turns around. He goes, what? He goes, they're 14. And the guy goes, so?
Oh.
And Jay goes, what did you say? And the guy goes, what's your problem, man? He goes, they're 14. Get your hands off. And the guy goes, come on, man. And Muse thought he was about to come at him to swing.
Right.
But Muse goes, it was the weirdest thing, dude, because everyone there is so happy. He looked like he was about to swing. He was like, come on, man. And then he just went into like...
Just dancing.
He just did a mosh, like he danced away. So Jay was like, I didn't have to fight him because I think he was too high on Molly or something.
Love
but
that.
But that was the only
dance out of
moment.
Trouble.
Who knew? Did you find a lot of that? Is there a lot of like
Kevin almost got into a fight?
Yeah,
I almost
did you?
Got into a fight. Yeah,
same guy, right?
Could have been.
Could have been.
There's
yeah.
that one guy.
I don't know.
When was the last time you almost got in a fight? Like, it's been so many years since
we
I almost got
Kevin,
in a fight.
Kevin, we just had this conversation a couple days ago with our listeners calling in because it's a thing that you just feel like as an adult will never happen to you. But we were surprised how many people called in who had been in fights pretty recently.
My last fight was in my 20s.
A guy knocked me into another guy, and the other guy thought I was just not paying attention or whatever, and he
elbowed
me.
That guy pushed you? The guy you knocked into then was like, hey.
Yes. Watch what the F you're doing.
Oh.
And clenched his fist and was getting ready. I was like, this is it.
What is your first move? Is your first move like, I'm Kevin of Kevin and Bean?
No.
God, no.
Because that is my move. I'm like, before you strike me, Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, any of these?
You should do that. But for me, that could be a negative just as much as a positive, depending on, you know, who the person is.
Yeah, because the guy would be like, you play too much Red Hot Chili Peppers!
Wouldn't have been a fight had I not said anything.
No more of that bridge song, Bean! And he calls you Bean.
Right. It was weird, though. I mean, I did find myself in a position of, I'm going to fight. I don't really want to. And I'm going to get killed, but hopefully I can at least get a good punch in.
I'm telling you.
And this
you,
guy
man.
Was way bigger than you,
yeah,
too, right, Kevin?
Three times my size. Yeah.
What was, so at the end of the day, if he had thrown the punch, would you have fought back or been like, come on, dude, it's cool?
Oh, if he thrown the
my
punch?
Move, of course, I try to fillet them to make them stop. I offer the mouth. I'm like, you don't want to hit this mouth. You want to use this mouth. Look at me.
You know, that never occurred to me.
I can eat people.
That never occurred to me.
Oh, that's how I get at all fights. But I figured if that moment ever came where somebody was like, come on, I saw Cop Out, give me my money back or something like that. I would immediately play the job card. I would be like, come on, dude, Clerks. We all love Clerks, didn't we? You don't want to hit the Clerks
right,
guy.
But
that's
don't
like
have,
the modern day equivalent of like, you wouldn't hit a guy with glasses, would you?
Right.
You'd be like, hey, I mean, you're just an acting. I can put you in a movie, kid.
Oh, I would totally play that.
Look what I did for Garmin.
That's right.
You ever hear of a guy named Ben Affleck?
I can't go.
He once tried to hit me, and I made him a star.
And now he's Batman.
I don't have anything that cool, though. That's the problem.
You got a radio show. If you're going to get hit anywhere, it would be in California, because I guarantee you could be like, hey, man, let's say the dude gets in one hit.
Right.
And as you're going down, all you gotta yell is K-Rock's Kevin and Pete, and everybody swarms in and starts taking that
see,
dude apart.
That everything now, everybody I think
all you need
mistaken.
Is 10 people,
all right,
and you'll get 10 out of 10,000.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe.
Kevin's hope was Kevin Ryder's hope was that people would jump in and hold him back so it would make it look like he was gonna fight but didn't have to or couldn't because of the crowd.
That's
right.
The best case scenario in any fight is your buddies come in and hold you back as if you're such an animal that they have to protect you from
they're
yourself.
Protecting the other guy.
Yeah. And the worst case scenario is that they can't hold you back because you're large and inertia just pulls you forward to the point where they're like, I couldn't hold it any longer, and then you wind up face to face with the guy.
No, or they get in a circle and go, fight,
Fight!
That's the worst case scenario. Totally.
No, I had one move planned. He was coming at me with his right. I was going to duck it, left hook.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sherlock Holmes here figured out in advance all the moves are going to be like, so I parry to my right, then I throw an uppercut, then I pull out my scarf, wrap around his neck, and choke him until unconscious.
I still would have gotten my ass beat.
Right.
But you would have felt to get one in.
That's right.
Why go for the face, dude? You know, haven't you watched enough movies in your life? The Wolf Man has nards. You go right down there, and that's where you punch.
I didn't have as a lot of
duck,
time to think.
You come with an uppercut
you
right
don't know
into
my brain.
The nards.
That, for me, that was a lot of thinking.
That's true.
What I did come up with was a lot of thinking.
One move for Kevin was a lot of work.
That's right. I'm just happy I didn't go blank.
Everybody's got to be pre-prepared for that moment. Everybody should have a ready
like, what are you going to do
one
if somebody?
Move, exactly.
That's a good idea.
If you're not, even if you're not a fighter, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Right.
But you got to have one move. Mine, of course, is like put the brain, the nose into the brain. Yeah. Boom. Open palm. Yeah. Ever since I was a child, they were like that. Yeah, cheetah paw. Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
I'm going to seal that.
I like it.
I like it too.
Hey, let's take a break now before lose the hour, because you know how fast it goes when Kevin Smith is here. Quick reminder, by the way, tickets available now, just $25 at csmod.com for a very special podcast. It's going to be this Thursday night at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. Kevin Smith, why is this podcast so special?
Why is this night different than all other nights? Yes. It is Smodcast 300. We've been doing this podcast. Yeah!
Kids
dig it. Yeah. We've been doing it for 7 years now as our flagship podcast that kicked off all the other podcasts I spend my life doing. I gave up directing to just do podcasts.
Yeah.
Smodcast 300, we're doing that live at the Comedy Store. So,
this is you and Scott Mosier. It's going to be at doors open at 8. Show starts at 8:30 this Thursday night at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. Go to csmod.com to buy your tickets. More with our guest, Kevin Smith, in a moment here on K-Rock. Kevin Smith, our guest in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see him live at the Comedy Store in Hollywood this Thursday night. Tickets are just $25 for the 300th anniversary episode of the Smodcast with Kevin and Scott Mosier. $25 at csmod.com. Hey, you and Ralph were at WonderCon over the weekend. Is that right, Kevin?
We were, and it was a wonderful time. But before we jump into that, a quick digression. Have you ever thought of trademarking the inflection of I'm Lisa May with K-Rock?
I never have.
I think you should. I think it's up there with here's Johnny.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Yes, it's one of the funnest things in the world to say. Whenever I'm in the car in the morning and the traffic thing happens, as soon as you say it, whoever's driving, I turn and go like, I'm Lisa May with K-Rock. It's very imitatable. I think you should, man.
Right.
That's your thing now. You do got a thing.
I didn't know I did.
I was stupid. I was Silent Bob. I got no thing.
Yeah.
My thing is to stand there.
Your
and people
thing
are like,
is
you
no
did
thing.
That before you that was a thing. In any event, yes, we went to WonderCon, and me and Ralph were on this Batman panel. We got a lot of nice ink off that Batman panel.
Did.
It's crazy, man. Like, people really appreciate it. We had a bunch of people. It was Kevin Conroy, who was the voice of Batman from the Batman animated series for like 20 years now in the games as well. Jim Lee was on the panel. Me, Ralph.
Peter Girardi, who does all the shorts for DC Nation.
DC Nation.
Bruce Tim.
The amazing Bruce Tim, who I'm the creative force behind Batman the Animated Series,
and
Batman Beyond. But that animated series and that look and that world, which is now what they're celebrating their 20th anniversary right now, because they're coming out with all new like merchandise and T-shirts and stuff. That is considered like a watershed moment in comic books and animation. Yeah, it's still people still talk about that. It's so influential. It's at this current crop of writers who are working in like DC and Marvel now. They all grew up watching that cartoon. That was their Batman. So
what's
it was
like,
kind of cool to be
What's
there.
It like to be sitting up there on the panel? I mean, that has to be weird. Well, Ralph has done, you know, he hosts 100.
I was a guest on this one, and I don't do that often. Kevin's done that forever at San Diego and stuff. But I really felt like an imposter. Like, I should not have done it. Because everyone else at the table had, like, a legitimate reason to be there. And
right.
They had Kevin and I there specifically because we're doing this 66 Batman Green Hornet comic book that comes out this summer.
Well, that's a reason to be there.
And they wanted to cover the character for the past 75 years since it's his anniversary, from all the incarnations from the comics through the TV series and then the animated and the movies. And they did in an hour as much as they could do of that.
But that was awesome.
So it was amazing to be there with all the sort of Batman royalty would help foster this character throughout the generations. But I did feel a little bit like someone's going to tap me on the shoulder and say, you're supposed to be in the audience.
One of these things is not like the other.
Well, why don't you keep on moving?
Yeah.
He earned his place up there. I mean, look, of everybody up there, he's the only guy with a Batman shrine museum in his home. And his encyclopedic knowledge of Batman 66 like provided the fodder for the miniseries that's coming out. So, he trust me, you earned your place up there.
It was
a cool panel.
Really fun.
I just can't believe that people never run out of new ways to make Batman and new ways to talk about Batman. It just seems like at some point it's got to run out of gas. But is it hotter now than it's ever been, Batman?
Yeah, in a big bad way. It's kind of just, look, he's always been part of the mainstream and the public consciousness, and we've seen him kind of go through many permutations over the years. But for some reason, the last, like, I've been a Batman fan my whole life, but the last 20 years, it's like he's ensconced. That character's not going anywhere. He's right. Bigger than Superman.
Who's your favorite Batman? Of the incarnations of the character. I'm not talking about specific actors, but whose vision of Batman is the one that you love the most?
We know which Ralph's is. Frank Miller.
The Frank Miller Batman.
Dark Knight Returns was the Batman rendition that brought me back to comics. You know, I loved comics as a kid. Then I went away from it in high school because I was like, girls won't like this. And then right after high school, I met a dude who I thought was very cool, Walter Flanagan, the dude that's on my show, Comic Book Man. And he was like, he was a dude who was metal. He wore like a denim jacket with album covers painted on the back.
Right.
He had long hair, but kind of mullety and stuff. But he was a hard guy, which when I talked to him about it, he's just like, no, I wasn't. But he appeared to me, he appeared like a hard guy. And he was a guy that liked comic books. And he was like, you know, we were talking about Batman one day. I'd worked with him at the Highlands Rec Center, like taking care of kids after school, latchkey kid program. And we worked together almost a year, never spoke. And then one day, I said, hey, man, I hear you like comics. And boom, he was like, I do. And I said, I wrote a report about Batman when I was in high school, man. You want to read it? And he was like, no. I was like, well, I'll bring it in anyway. And it was more about the Batman TV show. You know, like there was stuff about Chief O'Hara and Anne Harriet. So he read it and he was just like, you don't know Batman at all. And he gave me a copy of The Dark Knight Returns, Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. And he goes, you read this. He's going, this is Batman.
Wow.
And from that moment forward, I was hooked. And that book became my Bible. I love The Dark Knight Returns. It's like, you know, there were a bunch of people when we were younger used to carry around copy Catcher in the Rye. Dark Knight Returns is the Catcher of the Rye of comic books as far as
Will they reboot the movie franchise again?
Oh, yeah. I think they can. Now that we've seen the success Sony had with rebooting Spider-Man so quickly on the heels of the other Spider-Man, I think you see now Warner Brothers was bolstered where they're like, yeah, we just finished the sacred, holy Nolan trilogy, but man, Batman's Batman. And boom, we're going to put him back to work. And why not? My feeling is like, rather than, hey, you got one Batman movie every other year or something like that, just saturate it. Make it a genre. Make it like a Western. Because in the comics, there are a couple different Batman titles, and they've been telling Batman stories monthly for multiple Batman stories monthly for years.
Right.
Why not just be like, okay, Warner Brothers Batman division. And we got a bunch of filmmakers and a bunch of directors.
The source material endless, huh?
And just do your versions of it. Like that's, and not like one every other year.
Water it down to the point where people get too much.
I don't know. Think about a general action movie. And James Bond hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
Granted, they space those out. But I think people like that character so much. They're doing him now, you know, this Gotham TV show they're bringing to Fox or whatever. That's showing his early years. I think you get away with talking about every possible nook and cranny of this character because he's interesting. You think about it at the end of the day, like we all like the costume and stuff, but it's predicated on a very simple notion that anyone who's ever been a child or a parent can understand. The worst thing in the world that ever could happen to a kid happened to this kid. He watches his parents get killed, and instead of falling to pieces.
I'm sorry, spoiler alert.
The secret.
Damn it, Kevin.
Shoot.
Damn, man.
But I was talking
sorry.
A little press before the panel, and I said, I can't think of any other fictional character that has been given so many radically different treatments as this one. You know, if you go to see a Robin Hood movie or a Sherlock Holmes movie or something, they're all basically the same film with changes here and there. But this character has been everything from the lightest of light interpretations to the darkest of dark and everything in between, and it's all successful. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of unique.
I just love that, like, Los Angeles morning radio, we're talking about Batman.
Yeah. Who's, we need to take a break, but who was the worst Batman of all time? Clooney?
Who is the George Lazenby of Batmans, if you will?
Wow.
That's real geek talk right there. Yeah. That's the guy who played James Bond.
Yeah, in between Roger Moore and Sean Connery.
Thank you.
Which sounds so sexy, but wasn't.
I don't think it's his fault, but I think it's got to be Clooney because that movie was sort of a horror.
Yeah, it was tough, but he was actually good
was
in
fun,
a bad
but
movie.
He's
yeah.
in a horrible film, so I think he's always going to carry that stink with him of that movie.
All right, we have to ask you about some rumors that we have heard recently, but we need to take a break.
All right,
so we'll come
he's
right back.
He's got a penis.
The hilarious David Alan Greer joins us at 8 o'clock this morning here on The Kevin Amin Show. The white version of David Alan Greer is in studio with us right now, our friend Kevin Smith.
What?
Who's
David,
so good.
David Alan Greer, like, randomly took a swing at me on Twitter. Maybe, you know, people will be like, why would you remember this? Because I was like, I know David Alan Greer and loved his work.
Right.
On Twitter, over Adam Carolla at one point.
Oh, really?
How long ago was this?
This was going back like whenever Adam Carolla was mad at me or whatever. Yeah.
You guys want to throw down when he gets here?
You guys
want to
fight?
Minutes?
I didn't know Adam was mad at you.
Yeah,
fight,
this is going
fight,
back a little
fight,
while.
Fight. I'm with Bean.
But
let's settle it like men.
I went on his show, on Adam's show, because there was this thing and some beef, and I sat down and talked about it and stuff, because I don't believe in that fostering nonsense. It's just like, here, man, let's put it on Front Street. So, you know, kind of smoothed it out. I certainly wouldn't say that me and Adam are best friends, but you know, I felt like I did the as honorable as I could. I went in and be like, look, this is what I think the story was, and blah, blah, blah. Face the music. So anyway,
do you hate David Alan Greer, who's coming in 5 minutes?
But that, not at all. But that dude, David Alan Greer, I guess he goes on Adam's show a bit. So
he's a regular.
He tweeted about me going like, how can something about like Kevin Smith's always moving his mouth. How can he be so fat when his mouth is always talking or moving or something like that?
Right.
When does he have time to eat?
Something like that. Talking. And I was just like, hated it. Like, that guy went after me. I watched you, dude. Like, it was so random. Like, every once in a while, like, it's weird when some stranger or somebody, like, just comes at you out of nowhere. I saw a tweet yesterday where some cat was like, I put up a tweet about I finished a script called Yoga Hosers based on this podcast, episode of Smartcast we did. And I was happy. I did it in like a month. It's a kind of spinoff of this movie Tusk that I made. So I'm pleased, and I put up, hey, man, it's 420, and appropriately, I finished Yoga Hosers. A lot of tweets of people going, you rock, that's great. Like, Twitter's very supportive. Right. Always, sure. Like, a few grousers where they come out.
Always.
This one guy goes, so sad to see a director you once respected fall to mediocrity. You know, it's one of the first tweets I read in the morning while I'm on the toilet. I'm like, me, what do you mean fall to mediocrity? I started there, man. I'm the king of mediocrity. But, you know, so why did I bring that story up? Oh, my Lord, I hit a pothole.
Just how weird it is when you're on Twitter,
people
random people
to
taking a swing at you like David Alan Greer.
Just so there it was. There's one thing when an utter, like, stranger who's just like, man, like, I hate this fat guy. He won't show up. He's always wearing that jersey. What a jerk. They just throw at you.
Right.
It's another thing when it's just like, we're in the same business, I thought. Like, what? And it's not like I haven't said stuff about other people. So, you know, you take it on the chin. But that one came out of nowhere.
So you're saying Greer's a dick?
Not at all. I'm just saying I was shocked. I was like,
what would you do if you saw him, Kevin? That's what we're asking.
I'd give him a hug and I'd be like, I think you misunderstand me completely, but I've always been a fan. Okay. Even if Blank Man, dude. Like, come on. I was there for you.
Don't push it. Oh, that's your shot.
I was there for you
on
Blank Man, and he attacked me on Twitter. Anyway, that's just weird. When you said him, I was like, David Alan Greer attacked me for no reason.
Kevin, I have a question.
Yes,
I have a question for you.
Fire.
Why is it you keep coming in here year after year, tell us how you're not doing any more movies as you continue to write more scripts?
That was my intention. I was done. And I did walk away for 3 years. And then suddenly, because this Tusk thing, it just kind of started this weird snowball where I was like, oh, you know what? If I made movies based on my podcast, I'd be very happy. Like, I love these podcasts. It took me 7 years to figure out, oh, we're just sitting around cramming ideas together. Like, all this stuff's funny. We're just jamming.
You're already brainstorming stuff. Yeah.
It's all there. Yeah. So, like, Tusk kind of opened that floodgate where I was like, oh, my Lord, we can talk about something on podcast and shape this movie unintentionally. It wasn't like, let's sit down and do this. Just kind of accidentally happened. But it's like I've got this pen of gigantic, wonderful, funny ideas, and I never touch it because I'm like, oh, that's the podcast.
Right.
And now I'm like, oh, my Lord, dive into it. And especially because you got the audience telling you their favorite episodes, the ones they respond to the most. They're like, oh,
so is Yoga Hosers? Is that another movie?
Yeah, that's a flick. It's spun off of Tusk. It takes like minor characters in Tusk and kind of focuses on them in a one-year-later fashion, like the world in which Tusk happens. We check in on it 1 year later, but not the main storyline, this kind of sub-storyline.
It's the Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back of Tusk.
A little bit. It is. I mean, I feel, as I was saying it out loud, I was like, I've done this before, haven't I? But it is. It's kind of like the Viewsk universe, how all those movies were connected. As I was writing Yoga Hosers, I was like, you know what? Like, the things that I liked about Tusk, I'd like to keep going. It's very Canadian. It's set in Canada. So I was like, let me keep it in the world of Canada. And then I was like, oh, I can actually tie it to the other movie. And I thought,
is there a role for David Alan Greer, your best friend in the movie?
Maybe.
Sadly, there are no black people in Canada.
That's
so
true.
That
wouldn't ring true.
Yeah, I wouldn't have that.
Ralph saved me on that. I would tell. I think David's talented, man.
He's immensely talented.
Yeah. Hugely talented.
How about Johnny?
I would choose him over you.
Thank you, sir. Good to know, Bean. I'd choose pinto beans over the real bean. How about that?
I'm sorry, Kevin. What was your question for Kevin?
How about Johnny Depp?
How about him? You should put him in one of your flicks.
Can I tell you a story?
Please.
So I don't know if anybody saw, but I guess maybe it was last week or the week before, I saw a bunch of like stories online about, is Johnny Depp in Tusk? And I got like really excited because I was like, is he? That would be amazing for our movie.
That'd be awesome.
I read he took my role, that I was supposed to do something. How's it feel to get replaced by Johnny Depp? I was like, I'm in the movie.
It was one of those moments where you're just like, this is surreal. Like, they can't know something I don't know. And I'm like, no, open your laptop and look at the movie. This cannot be. And then I figured out how it happened. Because it started, there's a bunch of stories about him being in the movie, and everyone kept citing this Justin Long. He was in there's this quote of Justin Long in New York Newsday, and it's a very small piece about him speaking at a school. But he goes, at one point in the article, he goes, I'm in a movie called Tusk. That's where I play a war horse. Johnny Depp is in that one. And it's lived in this Newsday article that happened like weeks or months prior. And I guess somebody found that and extrapolated it and stuff. But what happened was Justin Long, because Justin Long told me about this. Justin was like, he's going, oh my Lord, this is so weird. He's like, I was in Long Island and I'm doing this thing in a kid's school where I'm just talking to kids and asking, you know, doing Q&A. Like, this is a guy who's in movies.
Right.
He's like, and none of these kids know who I am. He's like, there's not like, oh, it's the apple guy or nothing. None of, they're looking at, he's like, I'm getting blank stares.
Right.
So I'm sitting there going, what else am I in? He goes, oh, I'm in Tusk. And since they're all kids, he goes, Johnny Depp's daughter's in that one, because Johnny Depp's daughter is in that one. My kid's been friends with his kid for a long time. And so when my kid's in the movie, and so I was like, hey, man, bring one of your friends because there's a place. So she brought her friend. So that's what Justin Long says to the class.
Ah.
So the piece gets, like he said, walrus. The guy printed war horse. And then left off. That was the weird thing. Like, everybody goes, Justin Long confirmed it. But I'm like, Justin Long also, according to the newspaper, confirmed that he was playing a war horse. One word gets left off, daughter. And walrus. And walrus, two words. But people on the internet were like, war horse is definitely meaning walrus, and it's a misprint. But this got to be true. And I'm like, if that happened, don't you think the rest of this is shaky? Because you know how many podcasts I do a week? You know how often, like, you know, I'll come on, do radio or jump on TV or something? You really think that me, with my big fat mouth, could keep my mouth shut that long about something that cool?
Is it possible that he's in it and you're not aware?
I keep looking, dude. Because some of these articles were insanely convincing, where I'm like, they must be right. And yet I would go look at the actual movie and just be like, no, I know better.
But maybe it's like behind a tree or something. He peeks around it. Have you been careful?
In the deep background of a shot or something. I know exactly what it is. It comes down to his kid, who's wonderful in the movie. But it's a quick scene. And from that dopey conversation in a Long Island classroom of an actor who's just like, how do I seem relevant to these kids? You know, and throws
I need to
out.
Pick somebody that's famous.
Yeah, and not even, yeah, but somebody who's famous is like, somebody who's famous, their daughter was in a movie that I did. And that came to kind of surface on the internet, where a bunch of people kept asking me on Twitter, like, oh my God, this is amazing. You scored this guy. And I sat there going like, all right, do I just immediately jump out and go no? But let's be honest, Tusk is a low-budget picture, people. This movie costs less.
This can't hurt you.
Oh, my Lord.
Let it have some play.
It reminded me of, remember when they were doing the Phantom edit? Like, the movie, there was a cut of Phantom Menace, the first Star Wars movie, where they took out all of Jar Jar Binks. And it went around online, and people were like, this is amazing. And the rumor was that I had done it. And I didn't do that. I mean, I'll cut my movies. I'm not going to cut somebody else's.
Right.
But there was so much positive reaction to it. They're like, Smith finally did something worth watching by cutting Lucas's movie. I just let it rise for a while.
Sure, I deny that.
And then there was another point where, like, people online were going, you're going to be involved in a Star Wars TV show with George Lucas? And I was like, no comment. And then somebody asked Lucasfilm, and they're like, are you doing a Star Wars TV show with Kevin Smith? And on that side, they were like, no comment. And I was like, we may just no comment into a TV show out of this. But that didn't happen.
I was waiting for you to say no.
I know. So anyway, there it was. I wish I could report it.
Well, tell Justin Long not to do any more interviews with Marlee Matlin.
because she keeps getting everything wrong.
Exactly.
War Horse. Ain't going to be a war horse.
We are
now
out
the story is going to be like Marley Matlin's in Tusk playing the walrus.
The we walrus. Are out of time. Kevin Smith has two things coming up this week. One is Thursday night. Go to csmod.com. Just $25 to see the 300th episode of the Smodcast with you and Scott Mosier. And then the other thing is right out in the parking lot, you're going to throw down with David Allen Greer. You guys are going to box, right?
We might pass each other in the hallway. I'm just going to give him a big attack hug. And
sounds
that's
great.
That's the
Thanks
only way
coming,
I
man.
Deal with that love.
Thanks
Great
for coming
to see
in. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world famous K-Rock at 7:55. Yes. We have more tickets for you to see Arcade Fire August 1st or 2nd at the Forum in the fourth row. Your chance to win coming up here on The Kevin Amici Show. David Allen Greer joins us next. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Michelle Obama is having the acting career I've always wanted.
Is that right?
Yeah, so good for her. It's been announced over the past few days that she will be appearing in the May 7th episode of Nashville. She'll be guest starring on that show. Then she's doing the Disney Channel's show, Jessie. She'll be guest starring on that show. And, of course, she'll also be in the season finale of Parks and Recreation this Thursday. So,
wow.
This is unbelievable. She was just on Saturday Night Live recently, too.
Yeah. She is currently enjoying the career I've always wanted.
That's a little strange.
She's a brilliant, brilliantly talented actress, and I'm glad she's finally getting her big break.
Well, she paid her dues, Ralph.
She is doing all of these appearances in support of the White House's Joining Forces initiative. This is a very cool initiative trying to help raise awareness for the special sacrifices and needs of military families. And so each of these episodes has some connection to that idea in some way. And she is playing herself in all of these trying to raise awareness for this initiative the White House is going with. It's not only helping the veterans, but also the families of currently serving members of the armed forces as well as veterans. So it certainly is for a good cause. I cannot begrudge her raising awareness.
It's kind of like her husband when he was out promoting his health care to do Between Two Ferns. You go to where the people are rather than in boring speeches on the White House lawn or on Sunday morning talk shows.
Right.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Yeah, well done, Fee. Good stuff. You'd be surprised how many rich and famous people are already rich before they were ever famous. Pisses me off.
Why?
Well, you got the benefit of rising to the top of your chosen career, and then you get rich and famous, but you didn't even need the money because you were already rich because you were born to the right parents.
Yeah.
Come on, how much good fortune can someone have? Great list this week. But all the people who were rich before they were famous, like Anderson Cooper, of course, who was part of the Vanderbilt family fortune. He was enjoying a life of luxury before he ever became a newsman or was famous. Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, yeah.
Her father's a French-born billionaire. And her family is estimated to be worth $3 billion.
Wow.
So even if she never made another TV show or movie, she would be just fine.
So do you give these people credit, Ralph, for working hard in their professions and getting good at it?
I
do. So famous that they make a lot of money, even though they obviously don't need that incentive to work?
I do. I mean, a certain amount of any success in the entertainment industry specifically is good fortune. And I think they already had good fortune of being born into a rich family. But I think there is another hurdle that has to be faced, which is if you're coming into a family of wealth, especially if it's an industrial wealth or corporate wealth, to say, you know what, I'm going to shine on all of those trappings and I'm going to go lead this life of the arts where I'm going to go do plays or write books or perform in some way. That's often looked down upon by these types of families. They don't like it when you do that. I was talking to Jim Lee. Kevin and I were talking about WonderCon. Jim Lee is now the co-publisher of DC Comics. He is a legendary comic book artist, started out drawing the X-Men and then made his big splash drawing Batman and things like that. He's now at the top of his game. His family came over from China, first generation. He didn't speak English when he got to this country. And his father was a doctor. And the reason they came here is because there was a shortage of doctors in the 60s, and he had a career opportunity to come here. So he had to learn English and start a medical profession. And he brought his kids with him because he wanted them to have the same advantages of being in the United States and go to college and become doctors and lawyers and captains of industry. And Jim said at one point to his parents, yeah, I'm going to go draw superheroes. And they're like, are you crazy? So, you know, if you come from a life of advantage, it's hard to turn your back on that sometimes to go do something artistic. But these people all have. Adam Levine. His dad founded the clothing chain M. Frederick.
Really?
Yeah. So he's got all the money in the world. Carly Simon.
singer-songwriter Carly Simon. Her father is the Simon of Simon & Schuster Publishing.
Wow.
Co-founded that publishing empire.
Huh.
Chevy Chase, his family owns Crane Plumbing, the oldest plumbing business in all of New York. He's a 14th generation New Yorker. And his dad was also a successful book editor and magazine writer. So they had a ton of money when he was growing up. Brooke Shields, her family's descendant of Italian nobility, royalty out of Italy. Jake and Maggie Gyllenhaal, their family is Swedish royalty. And Edward Norton, his grandfather, founded, was one of the biggest shopping mall developers in all the United States for many, many years. His family had a ton of cash. So it's good to know. It's good to know the rich people can get a fair shake in these United States of ours. Usually they're so disadvantaged.
It's about time something good happened to those people.
I know. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jack Nicholson, 77 years old today. John Waters, the director, is 68. Peter Frampton turns 64 years old. Fletcher of Pennywise turns 48. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, very talented actor, is 48 years old as well. Chavo from System of a Down is 40. And actress Amber Heard celebrates her 28th birthday.
Belle.
She's a bitch.
What?
Belle. Thank you.
Oh, man. I was almost going to throw down there for a minute.
Somebody's sleeping on the job.
Unacceptable. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at... Why are you...
Did you run in?
Can I get a napkin or something?
What happened?
What's wrong, am I bleeding?
What?
What's the problem?
I was coming in the studio, and Kevin Smith socked me.
Did he really?
What did I say, Kevin?
Did you guys hug it out? He explained that there was a little bit of a kerfuffle on Twitter between you and Mr. Smith.
Kerfuffle. Everybody's highly offended. You know,
he wasn't offended. I think he took it in the spirit in which it was intended.
I'm a comedian. You do anything. It's like, how dare you, sir?
I'm like, whoa, calm down.
So you guys are cool. It's not a race war. We don't have to worry.
A race war?
Is he white or Armenian? Because I heard on Twitter he's Armenian.
I think he is Armenian.
Is Smith Armenian, which is kind of black, which means he's cool?
I think that may be the case, yes. So I just want to make sure you guys are cool, because I would be very upset if this was turned into a bad Thanksgiving situation where two family members couldn't sit together, you know?
I would not sit next to you.
Race war! Race war's on, everybody!
All right, it's not a race.
It's going down!
It's not a race war.
Come on, race war!
It's not a race war.
It is a race war.
It is a race war. So, David Alan Greer, first of all, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. We miss you, brother. We haven't seen you in forever. You've been a big-time Broadway star since the last time you were on, right?
Mm-hmm. I did some things on Broadway on The Great White Way.
What's that?
Blackening it up.
What show were you in?
I was in Race, in which,
I saw him.
Lisa went to see him.
Race.
She came with her lover.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, she came with her lover. And you were riding in piggyback, which was weird.
We do that a lot, actually.
As you turn like to walk up 48, you're like, come on, let's go. Jog me to the hotel.
But what's that life like being a Broadway actor and living in New York and having that performance every night and the rest of your day free? Is that a pretty good way to live?
I love it. I love it. I love it because, first of all, Race was a real small cast. I was like four people, so you were in this one. I don't want to say family because that's so cliche. You don't have the whole day free. You're always checking your voice, checking your body. Am I going to make it? Always sick. I stay sick.
Really? Always sick? Why?
Because you're yelling at people, hugging and breathing on people. You're in tight quarters. I love the cast, but you end up socializing. Maybe you have a lunch after 3, 4 p.m. You got to shut it down anyway. So it's not that. That part is taxing, but the best part is if you're single on Broadway, it is the best. here, I left tickets for you. Oh, I hope they're good seats. Yeah, you'll like them. So it's like front row, you come on. And that's why you out of order. You out of order. And then you take your curtain call, everybody's there, and bring her backstage. And it's like, you do mind? I have a car out front. I just need to sign a couple of autographs. Okay. it's like people are like, you get in the car, and it's like, Raphael, shall we stop by the restaurant? As you wish, sir. It's easy to close the deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the girl's like,
you're so impressive.
Every day? No, baby. It's just, only when I'm in the theater. You know, that kind of stuff. That's the beautiful part.
The other part. Go ahead.
It's just a grind. I mean, like, Race was pretty simple, but Porgy and Bess was 3 hours. cast of almost 30. You have to sing, dance, act. So that means really anything, because I'm old, man. I'm old and black. Anything that goes cockeyed, you know, you're like, uh-oh. So that was more of a grind. And
that's like being an athlete, being in a show like Porgy and Bess, right?
It is, but, you know, I was watching the playoffs. It isn't.
It isn't. Yeah. Okay, no. It's not. All right.
David sings a song, takes it to the hole, sacrifices his body, hits a high note. He is down.
No, it's not. It's
how
not the
many
same.
Shows a week?
Eight shows a week.
And when
eight,
you're in a 3-hour show, that's shows. Very different.
Well, see, that was different. I mean, there were a lot of bangers. I mean, these women were banging. If you come the wrong night, we're not going to hang out. If you come Tuesday night, I got two on Wednesday. Friday, I got two on Saturday and one on Sunday.
Yeah.
Hi, me and my friend Trixie or Nika. We just want to go and drink sherry or sushi. I'm like, I'm sorry, baby, I can't do it. They're like, are you gay? No, I can't. I have two shows tomorrow. And they're like,
David, do you get tired of doing that show 8 days a week? Or 8 times a week, I mean?
There were times when...
Where your mind is just wandering while you're standing on stage waiting for your line?
Yes. Yes. It happened. Yes, there were times, but there's always excitement. I mean,
you blank?
Times,
you ever blank?
Not in Porgy and Bess, because really? There's music and there's all this stuff. But in Race, you know, I have this opening monologue. It's like, sit down! I know what white people think! they think? And then we're back into it. Yeah, and your heart is pounding. I look up, and here's what Kerry Washington, James Spader, they're with huge smiles. They're like,
they love it.
You are screwed.
Yeah.
And we're not going to help you. So James Spader smiles and starts looking upstairs. I'm like, oh, you all are going to leave me down. It finally came back to me, and we moved on. So it was, you know, Porgy and Bessie, music carries you through, and you just act like you're...
Now, the Obamas went to see Denzel in Raisin in the Sun the other night. Did they ever come see either of your shows?
Michelle Obama came to see...
Did she?
Porgy and Bess. She came backstage. I'd never That's met cool. her. And here's what they did. They shut it down. No press, which usually they have a press corps. They had her security people, and she proceeded to go around the stage. Now, again, there must have been over 45 people there, stage hands, a couple musicians, the entire cast, dressers. She went to every single person, spoke to them, had a private moment with them, and she worked around the room. It was one of the most incredible nights, because I've met a lot of politicians' wives. I've never seen a politician or politician's spouse take the time and the care and show the genuineness that, and that's a word, because that's a black dude named Genuine.
Pretty sure you said it wrong, though.
Genuine that she showed. So
he's the pony guy, right? Genuine, isn't he?
Yeah, Genuine. Right? Genuine, what's up, baby?
So when she gets to you and you have your moment with her, do you feel like you're the, some people have a talent of making you feel like
feel
you're
anything.
The only person in the world.
Yeah. I did. I mean, because she was like, put her hands on my shoulders, you know, and was like.
Did you put your hands on her waist immediately just as a response?
Hands on my.
Be shot the head. Yeah. Don't touch the first lady.
Right. Girl, what's happening down there? Anyway. no, it was totally respectful. And she was like, we love you. You know, I was like, I want to say we, meaning you and Barack. meaning you and the driver. I know exactly. So she was just cool.
Me
she
and
was
the Secret Service.
Real. And I was like, I want to say, like, when are you going to run? Because she, I've heard for years, she's the real star in that couple. I've never met the president. I hope to. But she's
got charisma, that's for sure.
X factor.
Charisma, yes.
Did you think, and I know we got to take a break with our friend David Allen Greer here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Did you think, as she was winding her way through the cast getting to you, were you sitting there going, all right, what's my opening line? What am I going to say to her? Or was that not a concern of yours? You just let her carry
it? It wasn't hitting on her.
It wasn't.
No, but still, have that moment, and you don't want to say something stupid. But
I'll tell you a quick story. If we can't do it now, we'll do it.
We can't do it. We'll take a break.
All right,
we'll take a quick break. David Allen Greer is here. We'll be right back. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Were you singing?
I was saying, by the way, new design in here. I don't know what you guys did, but it looks awesome.
Oh, the new K-Rock wallpaper?
Yeah, because last time it was...
It's pretty desperate.
Yeah, it was busted out.
Well, this is just covering a whole host of nonsense that'll kill
Which
you.
Which needed to be covered.
David Alec Greer in studio with us here at the Kevin DeBeach Show. Lest we forget, and we will talk about this, I promise, David is in a new TV show that is very funny on CBS. It premieres this Thursday night at 9:30, and it is called Bad Teacher, if that sounds familiar.
Yes.
It's based on the same source material as the movie, correct?
I like that, source material. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's based on the movie. And
you play a bald guy.
I do, a bald black man who's considerably heavier. You know, I like to gain weight for my roles because that's part of a real actor's journey.
Sure.
You know, discovering yourself. And I am single doing press, and miraculously, I just lost 27 pounds. So, yeah.
That's how it works.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
How are you?
If you saw the movie, David Alec Greer plays the principal of the school where the bad teacher comes to teach. So yeah. He is as enthralled with her sexiness as everybody else seems to be in the school.
Yeah, let's take a look at the clip.
We have a clip, actually.
Okay, let's play it.
You're divorced?
Me too.
Oh, no.
Pretty recently. Mm. I did not see that coming at all. And it's hard.
So hard. So much crying.
Oh, so much.
So much, right?
I don't have anyone to talk to. So I just tried to throw myself into my work, which is much better than puttering around my studio apartment, using my telescope to watch my neighbors sleep.
You're laughing at your own clip, Dad. Come on.
I am my biggest fan.
All right. Tell us the bill. You were going to tell us the before the break.
Well, I said that I met a lot of politicians and
right.
How great Michelle Obama was. Okay. I met...
Oh, is there any more to the story of Michelle Obama coming around saying hi to you?
It was just beautiful and awesome.
Okay.
I'm telling you, behind
Different story.
The cast, women, some guys weeping. That's how emotional we were. Like,
wow.
Oh my God, she's amazing and all this. That's how heavy that was.
Okay.
So I meet Bill Clinton. He's with Al Gore, their family, whatever, again on Broadway and stuff. And I told, you know, President Clinton, I said, you know, my mom campaigned for you. And as a matter of fact, I met you and Hillary when I did Soldier's Story when you were governor of Arkansas on a ball field. And he goes, oh, really? Is that okay? Well, it's good to know. So we're all on stage. We're all about to get our picture taken.
Okay.
And right before the camera guy goes, everybody pose. President Clinton goes, you know, Al, I met David Alan Greer back in 1982 in Arkansas. On a ball field with Hill. And I said, inside, you're not going to steal my story. You didn't even remember it. So right before the camera flicked, I go, yeah, because I just told you that. And so he's turning and he goes, yep. So I couldn't resist. I felt like a dick later, but I was like, no, you are not. But that's Bill Clinton.
That is so
slick Willie or whatever. Yep. He took it and he was so smooth about it. It was like, you really going to try and do this, man?
There was no
like,
hint of remembering anything
no.
when you told
him. Yeah. He was like, are you a Negro? I don't... He had no inkling about what I was talking about.
That's hilarious, by the way. Who's the – look, you run in some – you got a lot of famous friends and you've been on so many TV shows and movies over the years. Who's the celebrity that you were most starstruck to meet?
Starstruck. Well, okay, when I first got to New York, you're talking about, I came to New York in 1981. I starred in a Broadway musical, met a bunch of people, and there was a guy getting married. He owned a very hip, cool restaurant called Cafe Central at the time. So I wound up at his reception.
Okay.
And there was Bruce Springsteen. Now, I was the hugest Bruce Springsteen fan in my college, you know, graduate school. I've seen him 5 million times. And he was there. Robert De Niro was there, all these people.
Wow.
So I met Robert De Niro and Bruce Springsteen at the same time, young actor. And I go up to Robert De Niro. We were going to the bathroom. I was like, excuse me, Robert. And he's like, yeah. I said, I just want to say, hi, my name is David Alan Greer, and I'm a huge fan. He's like, right, okay, great. You know, bewildered, befuddled, don't stab me, get away. Much how I am. So I was, but still, he was cool. You know, he wasn't, you know, aggressive. And I was like, okay, cool. I met Bruce Springsteen the same night. He was sitting on a couch. I was like, Bruce, what's up? And he goes, what's up? I was like, my name is David Alan Greer. Great to meet you. And I was like, man, I love you. I think I love you too. And I was like, oh, this is great. I'm getting an erection. You know, it was like awesome. So it was the other extreme, but real genuine, real cool. And, like, just so how you want the dude to be. And I didn't, like, overdo it or anything. But those are two opposites.
Strong.
Yeah, but I mean...
Here's the question I have for you, though, Dak. Because when we meet these celebrities, we think, okay, this is a moment and this is fun and we're grateful and we're happy.
Right.
But it's never going to go beyond that. Where it's never going to go beyond the star-fan dynamic.
You're also a celebrity, though. So you meet famous people now, and you know that you're a celebrity, too, and that you guys could actually become friends and hang out. Like, you can realistically ask for a phone number. You can realistically say, hey, let's get together sometime, and that's going to happen.
Yeah, but
that's a whole different way to live.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I'm like, really, when I'm by myself, when I'm hanging out, I like to hang out with people that we can just kick it. I've never been into that star thing.
But how do you know you can't kick it with, you know, Lil Wayne or somebody?
I usually don't think I can. Okay, so usually when people go...
You can do it.
No,
you
I've got to feel comfortable.
You can do it, little David.
I don't want to hang out with anybody who's got a posse. That's not the way I roll, you know. Eddie, when we were doing Boomerang, you know, he invited me over a couple times, but it was so...
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, it was so tight over there. Like, there are like 20, 30 people.
Oh, really?
When you walked in the house, everybody's like, well, who is this? Who are you? Are you taking my job? Or, you know, and it was a lot. I just rolled by myself. I've always done that. I really liked Eddie, but it was too intimidating. You know, in his like recording studio, 900 people.
I totally get that.
And I didn't feel comfortable. A dude like Ben, who's this guy? A really cool musician.
Ben Folds?
Ben Folds?
No, black ben. Dude. Mixie black dude, guitar player, was with Laura, what's her butt?
Laura Dern.
Yes. Ben.
Yeah. Well, oh, Harper.
Yeah.
Ben Harper, who is cool points. I met
How'd
him.
You get Dern out of what's your butt?
Me and her are like, here, man, we in the head, brother.
Yep. But, you know, black.
She speaks dag.
But wait a minute. We met years ago, like on the list. And he goes, look, dude, I want to hang out with you. Here's my number. Call me up. And him, I really wanted to hang out with. But inside, I was like, I don't want to be like the dude who just hangs out. Like, great take, man.
High five.
Right. Woo-hoo! You know, I play some bass. Okay, you guys go ahead.
You know, I don't want to be that dude, but I was a little intimidated. But I really liked him. You know, a bunch of famous people go, man, hey, let's hang out. Snoop, a lot of those guys, you know. But if I got to be myself, I don't want to, you know.
No, I understand. I get that.
Yeah.
And I think the difference may be here that on the outside, where I'm sitting, I look at those celebrities as being interesting and having fun lives. And maybe from your perspective, being inside the bubble, you realize they're just like regular people. And
right.
There's no big deal there.
Right. I'll give you an example. One time, Sean Wayans goes, it was way back when we were all living in Columbia. He goes, I hung out with Tony all day. And this is when Tony was huge. And he goes, how was he? He goes, it was really exciting. Then, like, after hour two, it was just, I'm hanging out with Tony. So, it's like that. You know what I mean? It's like,
exciting quickly.
Can we, this extra stretch limo is really hard to park, dude. Can we just scale down a little bit? I mean, can we not roll like this? You know, so that's what I mean. You know,
the first Tony story of 2014 was just told here on the Kevin Dean Show, by the way. Our friend David Alagrero is here.
Bad Teacher
airs Thursday night at 9:30 on CBS. A quick break. One more with Dag after this on K-Rock. Our friend David Alan Greer in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bad Teacher is the show. That'll air Thursday night at 9:30 on CBS. You know, Dag reminded us during the break there that he has another passion that we have not explored today, and that is he runs a food blog.
I do. Run it?
You've been doing this a long time, David.
I guess I have. I started it when I was on doing Race on Broadway, and I would make food and stuff for the cast, and I like it. I mean, I like long, involved, crazy, old style recipes.
Lisa was doing the traffic, and I walked over to David Alan Greer, and he said, "I got some stains on my." By the way,
overalls.
Yes, overalls. I was curing meat, and I said, "What? What?" It's curing
not
meat.
A euphemism, right?
I was like, what is that?
I had to smear.
He has a food blog.
That's awesome.
Have you cooked with Kimmel? I know that sounds like a new show.
Oh, yeah. Well, I brought some of my stuff on. I think I cured a leg of lamb. I made some lamb prosciutto, and I brought it on the show.
Wow.
Yeah, because you know he's a crazy, crazy chef, too. He
loves
all things food.
We're going to split a pig. I couldn't find the right people to give us half of a swine so we could split it, but yeah, I was hanging meat this morning. Had to
me too
smear the copa with paprika before
sure.
I
Yeah, but you hang meat just getting out of bed, though, right?
Oh, you know what I'm saying? That's a black man right there. My meat is always hanging, right, Kevin Kale? Woo! All right, now.
What is it about, what's the satisfaction you get out of out of food?
It's just, let me tell you, not to wax too romantic, but as a
wax
little
away.
Kid, when my mom would make a dish like oxtail soup, she started with water, meat, And it was like magic to me. She'd put some tomatoes here, you know, combine all these things. A few hours later, it tasted like heaven. And the first time I tried to cook, I emulated my mom. I took some raw meat. I put it in the water and this
tomato paste. You didn't even know what you were doing?
Yeah. And I was like, it burned. It tasted like garbage. I'm like, what? I needed to know. So that's what it's like, alchemy. I mean, it really is like magic to combine these products and a great meal. What's sexier than that, right, Lisa?
No, I agree.
You watch Hannibal, right? That's the best food porn on television.
Hannibal?
Hannibal.
You watching the Hannibal show Friday nights on NBC about Hannibal Lecter who cooks those amazing
Fava
meals with human meat? Yeah, that guy.
It's the TV.
Do you not think that'd be sexy if Lisa, me and you, like we killed like a drifter and just ate him? And then I make love to you all up inside you, baby. Sexy.
Dag, you got to see this Hannibal. It's the most gorgeous food you've ever seen in your life.
Are
it's
they
incredible.
Human beings?
Well, sometimes they are. Sometimes they are.
You can get past that, right?
You can look past that, yeah.
But for the first little while, you assume that that's what it is, but you don't know for
all right, let me tell you what's going on in Dag's food blog today. He's at chocolateglutton.com. Chocolateglutton.com. You wrote a post about something called Mishoyu.
Yes, it's my
that was a Two Live Crew hit from the 90s, right?
Mishoyu. I was trying to make soy sauce and I had a couple failures. That means you put some stuff in a pot, you come back, it was like a dead squirrel or something in there. It was all fuzzy, moldy. Toss that out. I was making miso, some soy in my garage, and I left. I went to New York. I did two shows. I got married, divorced, had a kid. Finally, I came back. You know what I mean? That stuff in your garage. I was like, I'm going to get to that. Finally, the other day, I said, I got to clean these pots out. I dumped everything. I get to this last pot, and there, it looks like oil. And I'm like, this cannot possibly be good. So I poke my finger in it, and it's viscous and rich. It smells like wine, coffee, everything. And I say, I got to taste it.
See, that's the difference.
But it's been in your garage for 8 years.
Yeah, but it's been covered. It's been covered. It's been sealed up. You know, it's not, you know, just open there with, you know, just say, I'm going to take a boo-boo right here. No, it's not that open. But I put it in my mouth and heaven. So immediately I go online and there are people, soy heads, like any interest. They're like, you know, this one guy said his Korean grandmother had soy sauce that had been curing for over 30 years. That was her.
What?
So I filtered this bad boy. I bottled it and it is sitting in my wine cellar. Sweet. And it is awesome.
Who's got that kind of time?
Well, you don't do
anything.
I'm not
going to start something now that comes 30 years from now.
You don't have to. I mean, I didn't know it was good. I didn't know. My intention was never to do 8 years, just like, at least I'm sure with this loser you're with, what is it, like 7, 8 years, much like my soy sauce. You never dreamed. You, 8 years later, but there he is. You know,
but, Dag, here's my legitimate question.
Isn't it like saving wine? You buy a nice bottle of wine and you put it away for 4 years
drinking,
or 5 years.
What happens? It's even better.
Yeah. Right?
Let me throw this at you, though, David, and I'm in no way trying to poo-poo on your passion, because if you enjoy it, that's great. But the time and effort that you put into making soy sauce, can't you buy a bottle of really good soy sauce for like $2? I mean, literally, can't
you? In like 2 minutes?
I do. But when you come to my house and you have a meal with me in my house, then expect the salad was grown in my yard. You know, in my garden.
We've never been invited.
Well,
but
probably never.
Truth be told.
Well, Lisa, you know.
It's
Lisa does. Is, yeah. So when the zombie apocalypse goes down, you're going to be set.
I have enough bottles. I can have 2 bottles of wine a day because you're going to be drinking a lot because zombies. You know, sure. It's not like you're like, we've got to stay healthy. We've got to be gluten-free. No, zombies. So you're going to be guzzling. So I could be, let's say a bottle a day for a little over 2 years. And that's enough. That's my stash. That's my doomsday prep.
That's okay. Quite a doomsday prep. Right.
You have about any food, too, or just alcohol?
Serious about that?
Curing meat. Also, I do a short cure. Like, I did a brisket, took a whole brisket, left it, cured it, wet cure, in my fridge for 60 days. And I put it on my smoker. It was like butter. You know how I know it was good? Because the crew on Bad Teacher, some of the crew guys came over, and when those meatheads give you a compliment, it's for real.
Because they normally resent you.
Oh, yeah. They try to kill you. And when they come up to you, you know, smelly, day-old beard, you're pretty cool. What that man said is, I love you. That's what he said. So, you know, to get confidence.
You might be reading into that.
No, I know.
I'm just saying.
So if you are looking for a way to take 60 days to cook dinner, go to chocolateglutton.com. That's David Allegra's food blog. All right. In our remaining moments here, Dag.
Yes,
Last pitch for Bad Teacher, Thursday night at 9:30 on CBS. We have a lot of excellent television choices on Thursday night. Why is your show the must-see?
First of all, I'm on it. And basically, I'm on it, so I ran out of gas. I had stuff I wanted to say. No, it's really funny. I mean, I wouldn't be in it if I didn't think it was funny. My goal is to do a show like Office, which I loved. I love Steve Carell.
Yeah, he was great.
And it was awesome. I mean, that level, that intelligence, that depth, you know, that's what I want to do. And
spend less time curing meat, a little more time acting.
No, more.
More time curing meat. Okay.
More time. Quick sidebar. I just was in an amazing Korean grocery the other day, and they have pig blood and pork blood. You know what that means? Blood sausage! That's what I call my downstairs self. Anyways, back to your question. Bad Teacher is awesome. I'm on it. I'll get paid a lot of money, and I want to buy another Ferrari. Come on, let's do it! Quality later.
Best
quantity
pitch ever.
Now. I want to buy new things. Woo! Come on.
I love quality later, quantity now. That's going to be the new slogan of this show. 9:30, Thursday night on CBS. Let's hear it for the great David Allegra stopping by. Thanks, Dag.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:54.
We're going to give away fourth row seats to see Arcade Fire in about 5 minutes. Stick around. We'll tell you how you can win. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
It is Tuesday, and it's Bean's favorite day of the week because it is new release day.
It's IHOP day. That's why it's my favorite day of the week.
Sorry. Your second favorite reason?
New releases, yeah.
You can go to get new releases, and then you can drive to IHOP and listen to your new releases.
Boom.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely IHOP day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-oh. So here's what's available. Pop Psychology by Neon Trees. That's available today. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 Deluxe Edition soundtrack featuring Pharrell and Johnny Marr and Hans Zimmer. That's all there for you. Cautionary Tales of Mark Oliver Everett by Eels. All right?
Yeah. I love that Eels. I have every single one of the records.
And The New Classic by Iggy Azalea. And I admitted to my ignorance of Iggy Azalea earlier in the show. And thanks to everyone who has just been schooling me on the magic that is Iggy Azalea, because she is hilarious.
Really?
Yeah. It's hilarious. Iggy Azalea is a 20-something snow white blonde white girl from Australia who raps in the thickest Thug Life gangsta voice you've ever heard in your life. It is freaking hilarious. And her videos are just her shaking her ass in people's faces, and she's talking about how thug life she is, and it's spectacular.
I like it.
I gotta tell you, it's freaking magical. Her album is called The New Classic, which shows you the level of arrogance that goes into her music. She's already calling her first album a classic. I think we should be the ones to judge.
Yeah.
You have a little Iggy Azalea?
I do. I have just a little clip.
Don't think I forgot. Let you slide. Let me ride. Just another homicide. Yeah, it's me. So I'm a talk on. Stomping on easy streets that you can walk on. So strap on your cubs and hat your locks. Oh, look. That is so gangsta.
She is gangsta.
She is good.
She is gangsta. Very entertaining stuff. This, speaking of hot blondes, Emilia Clarke from this Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Pretty
good deal right there. She's got a problem. She has two dashing, handsome, talented men vying for her affections. She's been dating Corey Michael Smith for the last year, but according to Star Magazine, she has recently developed feelings for her co-star Kit Harington, and he feels the same way. Two hot guys want her. What's she going to do? Wobbly H. That's what I'm saying. That's what she's going to do. The Eiffel Tower. Chinese finger cuffs. That's what she's going to do. She's got problems, man. Oh, sorry to hear that Drew Carey was eliminated from Dancing with the Stars last night.
Oh,
sorry,
is that on
spoiler
now?
Alert. Spoiler alert.
Is that on now?
You had taped DWTS and you were going to check it out later. I hate to break it to you, but Drew Carey got the boot. He and partner Cheryl Burke were eliminated last night. But it's okay because Meryl Davis is still there.
Oh, that's good.
So is Amy Purdy.
Oh, excellent.
Charlie White is still in the competition.
Good.
James Maslow's there.
I don't know.
They must be sad that the only celebrity we've heard of is now off the show.
Danica McKellar is still there.
Okay. All right.
Candace Cameron Bure.
And NeNe Leakes is still dancing, so.
Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
Loveline Loverboy.
I think he's still in.
Loveline Loverboy still
yeah,
in?
Yeah, I think.
I'm so glad to hear
that. I don't
that.
Watch that show.
America does.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy. And the fashion entertainment industry is trying to send a message to the nation of Brunei. Fashion designers and entertainment industry leaders are trying to start a boycott of luxury hotels that are owned by the Sultan Hasnal Bolkiah from Brunei. They want to boycott the hotels like the Beverly Hills Hotel, Bel Air in Los Angeles, the Dorchester in London. Why? Because Brunei, as of today, has just made it legal to stone people to death for being gay.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to the 21st century.
Really?
In Brunei,
jeez.
If you're gay, they can stone you to death.
Wow.
Is that beyond comprehension that
yes.
in the 21st century, stoning someone to death could be considered a legal way of punishing what they call crimes of a sexual nature?
Well, they have a lot of religious fanatics in their country, I guess.
I get that, but...
Look, we have a lot of people in this country who believe the Bible is literally the word of God. Lots of people get stoned in the Bible.
Yeah.
Very acceptable.
You know why? Because they didn't have anything else. They had stones and sticks. That was about... Sticks and stones would break their bones.
That's true.
Literally. Even if you wanted to execute someone. And God forbid you would ever want to execute someone for a sexual orientation. Gotta be another method.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, that's right.
Lethal injection or something. Stoning? To gather around and throw stones at someone until they're dead?
Yeah, it does seem like the 13th century or something.
It's barbaric. It's prehistoric, for God's sake.
Wow, that's crazy.
Anyway, so, yeah, that's causing a big hullabaloo today in the entertainment world. So that's it. I'm pulling all my business out of Brunei.
Wow, I didn't realize you had.
Oh, yeah, I've got some interest there in Brunei. I got several oil wells and a couple of car dealerships and things. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Closing them all. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Amber Heard. Man.
Yep.
Boy.
Yep.
Boy.
Uh-huh.
Boy.
Yes.
28 years old today. Chavo of System of a Downturn is 40. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, one of my favorite actors, 48 years old. Fletcher from Pennywise is 48. What do you think of Fletcher birthday celebration?
Oh, my God. That's a good question.
Does he just drink all the beer that there is?
That's every day.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to imagine how he ups his game on a birthday day. Peter Frampton's 64 years old. John Waters turned 68. And the legendary Jack Nicholson turned 77 years old today. All those stars born on today, April the 22nd. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. If you would like tickets to see Arcade Fire in the fourth row, we're going to give you a chance to win that. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You call now and we'll play a game right after.
Hey.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:09.
Remember those listeners that we gave out fifth row seats to see Arcade Fire yesterday?
Yeah. How happy were
suckers.
They?
What? Suckers.
What?
Losers.
Why?
Should have waited till today. We're giving away tickets in the fourth row to see Arcade Fire August 1st or 2nd at the Forum. We got them for you all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And you're in the grand prize drawing to present the show. That means you get your own dressing room. You get your name on the ticket. You get to bring the band on stage, the whole deal. That grand prize drawing is going to be next week. But let's take care of some business. Give away some fifth row seats right now for AFI fans. Ralph, what do we call them this game?
All fired up. Famous fires, all fired up. These are famous, legendary fires throughout history.
Wow.
I will give you a trivia question. All you need to do is identify the famous fire that I'm talking about.
So this is famous fires.
We're all fired up, Kevin.
Fires that
are all fired up.
Timing.
Timing.
Timing indeed.
Timing.
All right, let's go to let's just take them in order here, starting with line one. I guess Ryan will be our first contestant. So not to put too fine a point on it, but it's Famous Fires.
Yes.
That's what we're looking at.
We're all fired up. Hey, Ryan, are you fired up?
I'm fired up, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Here's your question. The band best known as AFI is actually named this.
A Fire Inside.
A Fire Inside.
Nicely
Boom.
Done.
You're all fired up.
He's going in the drawing.
Let's go to Elliot. Hi there.
Hey, hi, Lisa May. Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Elliot, you all fired up?
I'm fired up.
All right.
Can we be a little less fired up?
No, we're all fired up. This conflagration was one of the largest U.S. disasters of the 19th century and was rumored to have been started by Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicking over a lantern.
The Great Chicago Fire, baby.
Boom!
Look
You're all
that.
Fired up!
All fired up.
Yeah!
All right, two for two. I love that it's referred to as the Great Chicago Fire baby, too. I like
That's
that.
That's right, baby.
Janelle.
Hey, how are you?
Janelle, you fired up?
Yeah.
All right, we're all fired up. Here's your this song. Ooh, your song is an audio clue to help you along. So I'll ask you the question, then I'll play a little brief audio clue. This number one hit by Billy Joel includes rapid fire allusions to more than 100 headline events between 1949.
Inside the fire.
You didn't even need the audio
she
clue.
Didn't even need the...
Wow. You're all fired up.
Wow, three for three is very rare. These
you know
listeners
why?
Are fired
they're
up.
All fired up.
I guess so.
It's not going to get old. Let's go to Thomas.
I'm exhausted already.
Hi, Thomas.
What's up?
Hi.
Thomas, you fired up?
I'm fired up. I just saw them this weekend.
All right.
What? You just saw them this weekend?
Arcade Fire.
So you just saw Arcade
yeah.
Fire
yeah. Oh,
weekend.
Oh, I see, I see. You remember what we're giving away here, right, Kevin?
Yeah, I thought, yeah.
All right, here's your question. This 1985 hit film was directed by Joel Schumacher and starred Brat Pack members Emilio Estevez, Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy, Demi Moore, Judd Nelson, and Ally Sheedy. 1985, a hit film.
Famous Fire. That's a hint.
He just he went away. Dead. He went away. He literally died. Thomas died.
Hold on.
No, we can't hold on. It's too late.
You, sorry, you lose. You.
St. Elmo's Fire is what we're looking for. St. Elmo's Fire.
You need to speed up your Googling.
You weren't fired up.
Let's go to Matt. Hi there.
That was the problem. He wasn't fired up.
Matt, you fired up?
Yeah.
I know. He's
you
ridiculous. Just play along, Matt.
Whoa,
all right, Axl Rose. Calm down and read the question.
Audio clue for you as well, Matt. This song by The Doors, released in 1967, spent 3 weeks at number one.
If I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher.
All right, what was that song?
Light on Fire or something? I don't know.
Oh.
Is it close enough?
No.
You want to take another swing? What?
Light My Fire?
There you go. You're all fired up!
All right, you are in the drawing for Arcade Fire tickets. Row 4, thank you so much for playing Famous Fires.
He did not sound fired.
He was fired up!
Let's go to, we have time for a couple more. Let's go to Carlos. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Carlos, you fired up?
I think so.
Nobody's as fired up as you are, Ralph.
Here's your question. This 2013 Jennifer Lawrence film is based on the second installment of author Suzanne Collins' best-selling
Catching Fire!
We were looking for the entire title, but we'll take Catching Fire. Hunger, The Hunger Games Catching Fire. All right, you're in the drawing. Congratulations.
He was fired up, by
he
the
was
way.
Fired up!
He was. All right, let's go to Nick. Hi there.
Hi.
Nick, here's your question. Also has an audio clue. This band has spanned the musical genres of R&B, soul, jazz, pop, funk, disco, Latin, African, and gospel. One of the most successful and critically acclaimed bands of the 20th century. Here's a little piece of their work.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, baby.
You're fired up!
Everybody adds a baby to it.
You're fired up, baby!
All right, let's just do one more because I am too exhausted to go on.
You're fired up!
Juan, hello.
Hello.
Juan, you fired up?
I'm fired up.
All right, here's your question. Also an audio clue. This 1963 hit Johnny Cash song has also been covered by Eric Burdon, The Animals, Alan Jackson and Lee Womack, and Social Distortion in 1990 with this version.
I'm a boy, like a child. All
Name that song.
Ring of Fire?
Ring of Fire, baby! You're fired up!
All right, Juan, you are in the drawing, as is Nick and Carlos and Matt and Janelle and Elliot and Ryan. Only one can win the tickets in the Fourth Row Car Arcade Fire August 1st or 2nd at the Forum. Lisa, who's our winner, please?
Ryan is the winner.
Oh, very first guy.
I'm fired up!
He's fired up, baby!
Thank you for playing the game.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Not doing your little soccer player's birthday. Okay. Stop it, Kevin.
I'm just saying his name is Kaka.
I'm just saying.
Poor Ralph is just trying to cover celebrities, and Dave's over here throwing him Clipper birthdays every day, and Kevin's over here with soccer birthdays every day.
You forgot soccer player Kaka's birthday. What about Kaka? Kaka's birthday today? We'll have party bus for Kaka.
Who's he play for, Kevin?
I don't know her now, to be honest with you. He was on Real Madrid for a while. I don't know where he is.
Sounds like someone we should definitely be covering. Yeah,
he's a monster star.
He's so big you can't get away from him in that sport. Here's
but his
Ralph
name's Kaka.
With the real showbiz beat on K-Rock.
His name Kaka. That's funny. It's loud and funny.
All right. Show business news. I want to thank Listener Bean Baxter for this story.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
Really?
He's one of our regular listeners. He listens all the time.
But he's one that you usually ignore, is he not?
Well, sometimes he does.
Doesn't he stream you from the Northwest or something?
I believe he does, yes. Sent me a list of 28 TV shows that were canceled after one episode from a website called hypervocal.com. And the problem with a list like this is when you're talking about it is that, well, you've never heard of these shows because they were canceled after one episode.
Right.
But you will be stunned and shocked that some of these ever got made. They ever made an episode of these and put
them
on
television. That's why I thought it was awesome, is you can't believe these are real shows.
So I will read to you the premises of some of these shows that inexplicably were canceled after just one episode, like Beware of Dog.
Beware of Dog.
Beware of Dog.
Singular Dog.
It was the very first sitcom for Animal Planet. It was inspired by Look Who's Talking, the movies with the talking baby. But this had a talking puppy who just got adopted by a new family, and he told you everything was going on in that hilarious family by the talking dog.
Wow.
Beware of Dog, it was called.
I bet Lisa saw that episode, and I bet she watched it more than once.
Lisa
wrote it. She wrote that episode.
It's on her iPad.
You know, we laugh now at that concept, but Dog with a Blog is a thing. I just want to let you know.
Yeah, well,
another,
that's true.
Another talking
dog. That's a show narrated by a talking dog. You're right.
It certainly is. Australia's Naughtiest Home Videos. This was a spinoff of America's Funniest Home Videos, and it was pulled off the air during its premiere. They just went to a commercial break and never came back to it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Pretty spectacular. Co-ed Fever. Was a show on CBS.
I would watch that.
In 1979, trying to capture the success of Animal House. It was about college students just boning. And
how can that fail?
Only aired for one episode, TV Guide. Despite the fact it only aired for one episode, TV Guide has named it one of the 50 worst shows of all time. For one episode! That's a hell of a burden to carry. Impact Wrestling Rewind was an hour-long recap show of Impact Wrestling, which aired just prior to it. It was sort of like the Talking Dead of Impact Wrestling.
Okay.
That only lasted one episode. Let's see what else. Lawless, a Fox detective series where NFL player Brian Bosworth played a detective.
I remember that.
Called
they
Lawless.
Tried to make him an action star for a while.
Yeah, sure did. That aired just one time only. Osbourne's Reloaded. This was a Fox variety show featuring the Osbournes singing and dancing and doing comedy sketches.
Oh, that's right.
Osbournes,
I remember
Reloaded,
that.
2009. Similarly, Rosie Live, the NBC Rosie O'Donnell variety show, lasted only one episode. South of Sunset, a CBS drama starring Eagles founding member Glenn Frey as a private detective. Only lasted one episode.
Let me ask you guys a question. Don't they know going in that these shows blow? I mean, if they're bad enough to get pulled after one episode, is no one pre-screening them?
I don't care about pre-screening. How do you not know when someone says to you, we want Brian Bosworth to be a detective, or we want Glenn Frey of the Eagles to be a detective? Why do you say yes to begin with? You say, no, stop that. Go away and come back again with something else.
Odd. I guess in some cases the TV executives go, look, this show's not very good, but maybe maybe enough people will like it that it'll be profitable to put on the air. And then when the numbers are zero, that's when they go, okay, now there's no reason to put it on.
The Hasselhoffs, an A&E reality series following David Hasselhoff and his family.
That was a surprise that that only lasted one.
Who's Your Daddy? From 2005 on Fox, a reality competition show where adults who had been put up for adoption as children attempt to pick their father out of a lineup.
Oh, my God.
I want to see that. Come on.
Who's Your Daddy, it's called.
And then they would just step back and go,
nope.
Next, pick your father out of a group of men. There's the play. Who's Your Daddy?
I'm looking on YouTube right now to see if that episode is up somewhere. Unfortunately, YouTube is overrun with a Toby Keith song of the same title, so we may have a little bit of trouble finding it, but I'll keep looking.
And lastly, but certainly not least, perhaps the most legendary one-episode canceled show of all time, a British sitcom aired in England in 1990 called Heil Honey, I'm Home.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
It was a British sitcom focusing on the home life of Adolf Hitler and his girlfriend Eva Braun, who live in an apartment next door to a Jewish couple.
Come on.
They don't get along.
That was agreed upon by somebody?
Comedy ensued. Got the axe after just one episode of Heil Honey, I'm Home.
Wow.
Wow.
That's like Hogan's Heroes, right?
Even Hogan's Heroes.
Trying to make comedy out of the Nazis.
Didn't have Hitler as one of the stars.
Right.
No, true.
Yeah, you can find this on YouTube, by the way, and you really need to check it out. Initially, I've seen it a few times. I've thought for the longest time, okay, this is a spoof that someone put on the web saying it to be bad? Like a mockumentary. Like, this was an actual TV show that aired in England in 1990. And you think, when you watch it, that someone, like Monty Python, had to create this spoof. But apparently it was a real show and a real idea. And it did air. Heil Honey, I'm Home.
And there are people out there that are very talented that can't get their TV shows on the air.
Yeah. Guy sitting at home with an original sitcom idea. That, you know what my sitcom doesn't have? Hitler. How about giving me a shot? How about giving me one episode in my non-Hitler sitcom? Whatever the problems with my sitcom may be, you know what one problem it doesn't have? The leader of the Third Reich.
Plus, no talking dog, no Brian Bosworth. I mean, there's a lot of advantages to your sitcom, sir.
I'm going
to
take all of these ideas and put it in one show. I'm going to have Hitler's talking dog host a show that's a reality show about Hitler trying to find his dad out of a group of men. But it's also they also sing and dance and do sketches with the Osbournes and Rosie O'Donnell.
It sounds like the best show ever.
Never stop watching that show. That would be a show. I'm telling you, two episodes at least. Clint Eastwood is still a stud. He is just the man. He was golfing with some friends when he discovered a sick cat behind a clump of trees. Instead of leaving the poor feline behind, Clint Eastwood stopped his golf outing, took the tiny little cat to the vet, paid the bill, and according to vets, probably saved its life because the thing was malnourished as well as sick. But apparently the cat will be fine, and now it's going to find a nice home, all because Clint Eastwood took the time to rescue the cat from the golf course.
You have an obligation to help a sick or injured animal if you find one.
Yeah.
Animal, yeah, but
that
cat.
Was lovely.
But or put it down, right? Right there?
No.
And bury it in the sand trap?
God, no.
No.
Nine iron?
That's sometimes the most humane thing you can do, Bean.
That's correct. Sometimes, Bean. You don't like it, but sometimes it's the best.
The humane thing to do is just take a putter to that cat and just...
No, that's never an appropriate way to kill animals with a golf club, Ralph.
Just to take it out of its misery.
You can make an argument for shooting a deer in the head that's been critically injured by an automobile, but in most cases...
That's difficult with a golf club.
In most cases, when you see an animal, you're not the person who should make the decision how hurt it is,
unless it's a cat... And you have a sandwich handy, then really you really should take advantage of that situation.
It's a big cat. Maybe you need your wood.
Just
tough room.
Just make it a feline divot.
But you'll admit that Clint Eastwood made a better choice in this instance, right?
I don't know. I've never met the cat. I don't know how to feel about it. Rock in Rio is coming to Vegas. Oh, God. Here we go. We're going to lose Kevin for another week.
Dare you?
This is another festival you know he'll go to. And come back and go, no, I'm fine. I can work. It's coming to Vegas. A 33-acre open-air venue will be built on the Strip for a four-day festival of music in May of 2015.
May.
Yep.
is a terrible time to be outside in Las Vegas.
It's better than August.
Not by much.
It is. It by significantly better than August or September.
Right, but can't they do it in March?
I guess they don't need the people to get to Vegas in March. People are already going in March. They plan to call it City of Rock, and they're going to put the venue between Circus Circus and Sahara Avenue. It's going to have five stages, amusement rides, shops, food. They say it's going to be the next big thing in music festivals. City of Rock coming to Vegas in 2015.
As a like a full-time thing? It doesn't...
It's a yearly thing.
Oh,
a yearly
okay.
thing. Yearly. It'll be a four-day music festival.
So they're trying to do for Vegas what Lollapalooza does for Chicago.
Exactly. Or as Made in America does for Philly, or Coachella does for Coachella. All those things will be done for that.
I like it.
And the sadness at the passing of the Ultimate Warrior from the world of wrestling was felt intently by creator of the Goldbergs, Adam Goldberg. Created the ABC sitcom. Tells TMZ that he was heartbroken about the passing of his death. He was a huge wrestling fan in the 80s, and because the Goldbergs takes place in the 80s, he has decided to dedicate an upcoming episode of the show to his late hero. So there will be an 80s-themed wrestling episode on May the 6th that predominantly features a lot of love for the Ultimate Warrior. So that's kind of cool. Remember James Gandolfini?
Sure.
Late great actor who, of course, was Tony Soprano. He had already all but begun to film a miniseries for HBO called Criminal Justice. That was going to be his next project before
he passed away.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he died before they could finalize everything, and so they've been just tap dancing over lead actor ever since. Recently, Robert De Niro was supposed to take over the role, but then he had to pull out because of a scheduling conflict. So now it looks like, according to Hollywood reporter John Turturro, will be taking over the role of an ambulance-chasing lawyer who becomes involved in a case defending a young man accused of murdering a girl on New York's Upper West Side. So Turturro will be filling that void. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot to be done. Speaking of TV, congratulations to our friends over there at Veep. HBO has picked up the Julia Louis-Dreyfus comedy for a fourth season, as of yesterday they announced it. And a second season for Silicon Valley as well. Speaking of Julia Louis-Dreyfus, another interesting list. This is celebrities who were already rich before they ever became famous. People who didn't need to become a star in order to get money. Usually, you know, people come from humble roots and then they get rich and famous and they get the benefits of that kind of lifestyle. But Julia Louis-Dreyfus was one of those people. Her father is a French-born billionaire. Her family is estimated to be worth $3
billion. Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
So beyond rich.
Yet she still picked a career with so much rejection in it.
Yeah. But she did have the added advantage, I think, that a lot of struggling actors have to deal with, which is not knowing where your next meal is going to come from.
Well,
I'm guessing she probably never had to face that.
Yeah.
Gives you a little bit more security when you can go out there, and if you don't get that commercial audition,
yeah,
well, you'll still be able to pay your rent, probably. Also on that list, Adam Levine. I didn't know this, but his dad founded the clothing chain M. Frederick.
Huh.
So he was set up for life. In fact, he met two of his future bandmates from Maroon 5 while attending the Brentwood School, pricey private school here in California. So that's pretty cool.
Okay.
And Edward Norton, his grandfather, was one of the biggest shopping mall developers in the country, the Rouse Company. His grandfather was James Rouse, so he had a lot of cash, too. Did you ever hear the story about Edward Norton when he got his first big break?
I don't think so.
He did a movie with Richard Gere.
It was Howl, Honey, I'm Home, wasn't it?
It wasn't Howl, Honey, I'm Home. Now, he did a feature film with Richard Gere called... Damn it. This is going to make me crazy. But Richard Gere plays a lawyer who takes on a pro bono case of this poor white trash Southern kid who was charged with murder.
Yes, I saw that.
Oh,
it was
so
good.
Primal Fear?
Primal Fear.
Primal Fear. I did see that.
And as I mentioned, Edward Norton, privileged kid from a rich, well-educated upbringing, auditioned for the role in character. He had them believe, they didn't know who he was, they had him believe that he was a white trash kid from Kentucky who had no money, was living on the streets and everything, much like the character was, and did the entire interview process that way, met the producers, director, never let on that he was who he was, and got that role, and that was a starring role that gave him his first big break in show business.
Nominated for an Oscar for that role.
That's right. So, just lie, kids. That's the moral of the story. Just lie.
That is the important message.
Every single opportunity. Today's celebrity birthdays: Jack Nicholson, 77 years old today. John Waters, the director, is 68. Peter Frampton, 64. Fletcher of Pennywise turns 48. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, also 48 today. Chavo from System of a Down is 40. Amber Heard, she's 28 years old today. And Kaka, Kaka, Kaka.
No, I'm not calling the parrots.
Please, for AC Milan now.
I am talking about the soccer player who is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, Olivia Cooke will be here talking about
The Quiet Ones.
Quiet Ones.
Also, Bates Motel. She's great on that show.
We also have a brand-new internet roundup. We have your tickets for Arcade Fire in the third row tomorrow morning. And we have the, the light heavyweight champ of the world in the UFC, John Jones, also tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show.
And, Ralph, you haven't been in here to hear Kevin talking trash for the past 30 minutes about our guest tomorrow, the great Alan Thicke.
What?
Who Kevin wasn't even going to mention is going to be on our show tomorrow. That's going to be the best part of the whole goddamn show tomorrow.
I love Thicke.
He's America's favorite TV dad.